Hey, what's poppin'? Drew and Mike Show in the deals in the D.com for Wednesday. So it's just Mark and Brandon and I. And so much to get into. I swear, just to cover, like, racism, it seems like it takes me 3 hours a day.
Yeah, a lot of stories.
And then there's the basic stuff, you know, like Sheila Ford Hamp steps up as the Lions owner.
Oh, no! I said to
it's
Brandon...
It's going to be such a dramatic change.
Thank you. I said to Brandon before, you know, we just talk about whatever. And I said, you know what stories really drive me nuts today? Is the fact that people are pretending that Martha Ford stepping down matters one bit. It's the dumbest story.
I know, but it has to be a big story because it's the Lions, the head of the Lions.
But she's not selling the team.
No. I talked to one individual who I will not name, even though he wouldn't care. And he thought it had to do with taxes and inheritance. In other words, if Martha dies.
Yeah.
And leaves it. Is there some reason? I guess you'd have to pay more. But if she just transfers it, mom, is that?
Oh, because of the estate tax?
Yeah, I guess.
But doesn't that only kick in when you sell it?
Well, if you die, you've got to pay estate taxes.
You know what? I'm pretty confident that maybe Martha, at 94 years old, maybe she's just sick and tired of hearing people just beat her up in the newspapers. Let her retire at 94. Everybody's always saying, when she dies, this is going to happen, when this dies. Who would want to keep hearing about what's going to happen when you die?
Well, that'd be a good reason to step down. The funny part, though, is that Sheila Hamp Ford is forced to say, she's left the team in great shape and I'm ready to take over. And
look at her.
Great.
Does anyone think the Lions are going to be really good this year?
They're not going to play, are they?
I mean, if they played, would they be really good?
No.
Hi, Mommy. I think this is one of those off years where they do have a chance to, like, you know, squeak into the playoffs, but who knows?
Do they have a tough schedule? I mean, if there is a schedule.
I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, they do.
I don't either. They do. That's what I thought. So, because I looked at the
Wrong.
Schedule, I was like, how can they have a tough schedule? They're terrible. They were 3-12-1.
Well, who do they cross over with? I mean, that matters. What division?
I don't remember.
Cross over with the other league, and yeah.
It's weird how I barely even look at sports anymore because there's nothing to see.
Great soccer matches today.
Yeah, like I said, I don't really look at sports because there's nothing to see.
What?
MLB. I guess the owners are trying to shove the 60-game schedule down the players' throats.
Did you read the full write-up on the Major League Baseball?
I did not.
Oh, did you know there's a new rule this year with extra innings too?
And they put a guy in second base.
Yeah,
is that just for the shortened season?
Yeah, they're not going to do it for the playoffs. Let me see if I can find it. There's a whole.
Can
list.
You still take leadoffs?
It's a great question. Huh? Ghost runners.
Ghost man on third.
Is there slaughter rule or mercy?
mercy
rule. That would shorten some games.
Should be. There are a couple other things in there. It's just like that seems really silly.
The Lions, they got a pretty tough lineup this year. They have, obviously, the Packers a bunch of times and the Bears. But the Cardinals, Saints, Falcons, Jaguars, Panthers, Texans, Titans, yeah, Buccaneers, Tom Brady. So
that's a very tough schedule.
And we don't have an easy division either. The Vikings are good.
The Bears are getting better.
Bears suck.
Who's the quarterback the Bears brought in?
What's the Foles? Big Dick Nick?
Oh, yeah.
He's got BD
Huge
energy.
Dunk.
I mean, I thought that was a good pickup.
We call him Young Tom Brady.
Anyway.
Bears are going to kick some ass. Yay!
So, Major League Baseball, 60 games, which fun. Around July 24th is when they start. 10 teams in the playoffs. The playoffs are the same. Players
they start July 24th?
Yep, players are getting their full prorated salary.
Right.
So good for them. Where were the other things?
Why? Everybody's acting like it would be such a defeat to have this shoved down their throats. And I'm going, wait, they're getting their prorated salary. What's the rub?
I don't know. Maybe they don't feel safe. Here's some of the new safety protocols, which the players have to sign off on.
Oh, you know what?
What is the new rule in baseball?
I'll tell you when I'm completely dreamweavered.
Players and other team personnel not participating in the game will have to sit and stand, separated by 6 feet. Celebration is verboten. No high fives, fist bumps, or
no
hugs.
What?
It's too boring.
No spitting, chewing of tobacco,
what?
Or sunflower seeds, or any combination thereof.
Oh, stop it. By the way, I'll just stop you briefly. Somebody was making fun of just generally the response to COVID, either on one side or the other. And they showed this little clip of, it was a woman who runs a tennis center, and she was telling them that you can only play family members who reside in your home. You should not pick up balls unless they're your balls. Everyone has to bring their own balls, and if it's the other person's ball, you have to kick it.
Well,
and it went on from there. I was like, wow, I
can't. Coronavirus!
This really happened.
A lot of rules. Minimum distance between base runners, fielders, coaches, and umpires on the field will be encouraged. Ow.
What? They play where they have to play to make the play.
A ball will be thrown out of the game once it's been touched by multiple players. What's multiple players?
Two.
Oh, two? So if a ball's put in play, then it has to be removed?
I assume they're going to probably pitcher catcher's okay.
Oh, Michael Corleone says hello.
So
if he tries to pick off the guy in first base and then tries to pick off second base, then you're getting into multiple players.
A ground out?
That misses for ball four, and Robinson says, I'm walking here. I'm walking here.
That would be multiple players.
And finally, post-game showers are discouraged, as will be the use of taxis and ride shares.
What about living in the bubble? Remember that part?
That's the problem. They can't.
They're not living in a bubble.
They can't make that. They can't make them do
but
it.
That's the most important thing. Living in a bubble is so much more important than the umpire trying to get further away from the second baseman or throwing the ball out after multiple players touch it.
Well,
the bubble would be 20 times as effective as all those things combined. No spitting.
Oh, Wilmer Valderrama, that must have hurt.
The new science.
Baseball players know how to spit and not hit people.
Yeah. Well, that's touching the ball, though, it hasn't been proven to be that transmittable via surfaces. It's all eyes, nose, and mouth, and spit, and talking. So the NBA, you know, the guys that created the bubble?
Yes.
Have already had
the bubble that they're not going to use.
Have already had a couple players opt out of the season. It's like, I'm not playing.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, who?
Two players that don't matter. David Bertans of the Washington Wizards. He's injured, and he has free agency coming up after this year. So he's like, I ain't playing. Trevor Ariza is also opting out.
One of them, 6'11".
Opting out to be with his son.
Is something wrong with his son?
I don't know. Maybe he just wants to be with him anyway. I really don't know. Most importantly.
I'm going to assume, by the way.
What?
I'm just going to assume that there's nothing wrong with his son.
Yeah.
Wouldn't his son be better off if he, being a low-level player, if he went ahead and made a few $100,000?
Well, Ariza, I mean, Ariza gets paid, doesn't he? He's pretty well.
Oh, I'm not sure.
He does. But most importantly, WNBA All-Star Jonquel Jones said she will not participate in the 22 WNBA season with her team, the Connecticut Sun. Quote, this is one of the toughest decisions I've ever made, she said in a statement.
Why? But is she not playing?
The resurgence and unknown aspects of COVID-19 have raised serious health concerns that I do not feel comfortable competing in.
And boom goes the
They just
dynamite.
Lost an all-star player that no one has ever heard of until now.
This insistence that we have to pretend the WNBA is as important as the NBA when reporting on sports scores, come on, really? Because it's never going to be as good. It's never going to have the interest level. I'm sorry, it's just not.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
And I'm not, and you know what?
I'm sure the fan of the Connecticut Suns is really upset that she's not playing this year.
People.
One of them.
People get the wrong idea sometimes. When I make fun of the WNBA, it's usually because they think they deserve the same as the NBA or there's a quality questions. Now there's a racism thing with the WNBA.
What?
They're saying that there's racism in the WNBA too. Yeah, and it needs to be addressed. And actually,
I guess we can't cheer for that team.
I know what it was. It was about the bubble. They were talking about the bubble and that NBA players would have their own rooms. And WNBA players, they were suggesting these suites where, you know, there'd be three bedrooms and it'd be a lot cheaper.
Well, I don't know.
They don't generate the revenue.
Well, why, they can't share a room with their wife/teammate? Stupid joke. Too easy, man. Ashamed of myself.
I got to mention Mesa. Mesa is still looking for people. And by the way, if you're 17 or 18 and you wash dishes and you want to make a little cash,
better get to work.
Okay, for bussing tables or as a dishwasher, how often can you get a bonus for getting a job?
Point.
Mm-hmm. A bonus. It's a generous bonus. That's how bad we need people at Mesa, and that is how difficult it is to get people to go to work. Now, I've talked about the Mesa 13.
Yeah.
That kind of saved Mesa. They banded together.
The MS-13, yeah.
Could we, what's that like that independent baseball team, the
St. Paul Saints?
No, that documentary?
Yeah, with, was it Kiefer Sutherland? No.
No, it's a documentary.
Yeah, but wasn't there some actor who was involved?
Kurt Russell. Yeah. The something bastards.
It's
a story
the
about
battered bastards of baseball. Yeah.
It's a good documentary, but I think the Mesa 13 could possibly be just as interesting.
13?
Because of the way they banded together during COVID-13.
Thick as thieves.
No one has gotten coronavirus at Mesa. So, I mean, it's all those precautions are being taken, and they need...
Coronavirus!
Let's see. They need bussers, dishwashers, kitchen help, hosts, and again, generous bonuses. It's a fun atmosphere, flexible hours, great tacos.
You are not the boss of me.
Info, here's where you do. Send your info to info@likemesa.com or come in between 11 and 6 and see Jenna. And if Jenna's not there, ask for Tim. If Tim's not
here
there.
Here is how to get over here.
Ask for Drew.
What the hell is going on? But yeah, jobs. People don't, it seems that people don't want to take jobs. Now, I understand, but some people, this might be a foot in the door, or might be just you need some summer cash or walking around money because you're young. And
there was a big article.
A bonus for doing really basic work.
Did you read the article in the Free Press today by Mark Kurlianchik, who was just on the Soul of Detroit a couple of weeks ago?
I did not.
About, the title is Fear and Loathing in the Service Industry as Metro Detroit Restaurants Begin to Reopen. And they talked to a lady who works, I want to say she works at Buddy's Pizza downtown, and she's been making $7.60 a week on unemployment, and she says that's not the reason she's returning, because she can make $7.60 in 2 days.
Oh, because they're so busy?
I guess, but I did...
You can make that much money in 5 seconds.
But she just says she's staying home because it's not safe.
Oh,
which I thought was really interesting.
There's always an exception to the rule, but...
You make $7.60 in 2 days. How much is that?
$3.80 a day.
Okay.
And she does what?
Sure.
You can make that much money in 5 seconds.
Front of the house at Buddy's. So what's that break? Someone do the math.
$3.80 a day. She works 5 days?
Yeah.
That's $2,000 a week.
So well, you get a calculator to solve it.
It's a little less than $2,000 a week. So she makes $104,000 a year?
It's pretty good.
I want to hang on to that job, man.
And
so you're telling me that this place is open and they're operating, and her position pays $104,000 a year as the maitre d' or the host?
Yeah, that's the
and
quote
she
in this article.
Doesn't want to go back because
I thought
of
it was
COVID.
Always a good time to get fucking rich.
So
I got to tell you, for that kind of a job, I'd have a hard time staying home. I'd be worried somebody else was going to appear more dedicated. Or
she says, I'm not staying home for my $7.60. I'm staying home because it's not safe.
Now I don't want to go to this restaurant. What's the restaurant? Because I don't want to go there.
Buddy's,
if it's so unsafe.
Buddy's downtown.
$380 a day at Buddy's? What?
I need you to do more math for me in this article.
Oh, pizza.
Wait, Buddy's Pizza?
Do you want me to call up Kurlianchik and you can talk to him?
Buddy's pays $104,000 for the hostess?
That's what she said.
So the Northwestern Highway probably pays a little more.
Who wants pizza?
She said, you want me to come back to work, but come back to work for what? I'm not going back to a job to be catered to. I'm going back to make money. If there's no sports,
good
no
luck
concerts.
Good luck trying to get pepperoni in this town without a pube in it.
Never at Buddy's Pizza. And I'm just kidding. I suspect that they're safe as any restaurant. Oh, but that just seems
sure.
Really strange when someone making...
I'm not about to eat arm pizza.
Someone making $100,000 a year is saying that it's unsafe. I mean, it sounds like it's not safe to go there either.
Well, she doesn't.
That just doesn't sound good.
She works the front of the house, so she has to greet every person that comes in.
What? She can't wear a mask and keep herself. Does she have to hug everyone?
She also pays roughly $40 a day for transportation to get to the restaurant.
Okay, that'd be $340.
I've probably had over 40 pizzas in the last 30 days.
$40 a day?
That makes it 340 that she gets. Instead of 380, she gets 340, right?
Yeah, but I'm just questioning, why does it cost $40? I mean, I understand she doesn't have a car.
Wait, $40 a day?
Yeah.
Does she have to go to Chicago first?
Reminds me, this poop is brought to you by Antonio's Pizzeria.
Why do I like getting in the weeds and stupid things like this? But if it's something really serious, I don't want to get in the weeds.
It's the same thing I thought of. Well, because these quotes don't really, the math doesn't make sense.
No, I didn't pick up on that. I thought you were just giving me information, and I realized how ridiculous that is.
She doesn't have a car, and she doesn't feel safe riding the bus.
Wait, she makes $100,000 a year, and she doesn't have a car?
Well, a lot of people have insurance in the city. And
She could move anywhere making $100,000.
Snop.
Can't they make her the hostess at Buddy's on Northwestern Highway? Then they'd probably pay her $120 because they probably have higher prices.
I don't know.
Pizza man. I got pizza here. Who wants pizza man?
She can probably buy a place in West Bloom. I mean, that's pretty good for being a hostess.
Sure.
Just saying.
I'm just wondering if the numbers are off. I understand.
Well, maybe she was misquoted. I don't mean to make fun of her.
Here's the sad part.
I'm sure she makes that money.
She has to spend $40 a day because sometimes she works late and doesn't want to take public transportation home. And I don't blame her. So she ends up taking Uber, but isn't...
If they can afford $100,000 for a hostess, couldn't they just pay her $40 a day? Can't she just expense it? I mean, the place must be making money hand over fist. Think pay hostess is $100,000.
Out of 100...
I just feel like eating and going to bed.
This is interesting, though.
Brandon's having a lot of fun with this story.
I didn't know we had so many pizza drops. How many of the 1,200 employees do you think Buddy's furloughed?
Furloughed? Buddy's?
Big deal. I eat pizza every day of the year.
You mean back when?
Yeah, through this whole COVID thing.
Buddy's is a local Michigan company. Probably got a lot of... I don't know. They seem like they have a lot of longtime people there. I mean, that's my perception.
You, sir, have a pizza face, and you suck your mom.
I'll say 250.
They claim out of 1,200 employees, they did not furlough any team members, but have given everyone the opportunity to voluntarily choose not to work if they didn't feel safe doing so. Meaning,
it's pretty good.
Well, they did. She was collecting unemployment because she didn't feel safe. So,
if she was working, they pay her $380 a day to be a hostess. Buddy's. I had no idea Buddy's was that cool. I might apply there.
Ooh.
Hey, whoa, what
Scrap
happened there?
I want to delete that. Just delete it now, Brandon.
Man, oh man, Buddy's. No idea. What do the waitresses and waiters make?
Yeah.
200?
I thought the numbers
were a little... Manager must make a million.
I thought the numbers were a little odd in that
You're
story.
You're rich, you jerk.
I read it like 15 times. It didn't make any sense to me.
There's so many crazy stories today. I got to say, I mean, this type of story where you will get deep into it because it... Something just doesn't work. But let me take care of our Facebook sponsor, Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee. It's a serious brew that will punch you in the face. It'll kick your ass. As I mentioned, they have these great ads on Facebook, too, with this really edgy girl. She's got, I think she might have sleeves. And anyway, she looks, and she's just cool. She just looks cool.
She sounds hot.
And she's kind of badass. And she likes
she
to get her
Death
ass
Wish,
kicked
man.
By Death Wish.
She likes to kick your ass, too.
Prefer to shop online? Head to deathwishcoffee.com/Drew for access to all the coffee products. Again, 4 hours it keeps coffee warm, that warmer they have.
Good deal.
Including the killer merch. And yeah, while you're there, use promo code DREW15 at checkout. Save 15% on your entire order of Death Wish Coffee.
So many people on Facebook Live. I'll do that job for $100,000. I'll do it for $99,000.
Wait, they'll wait tables for $100,000?
Well, if that's what it pays.
Oh, okay.
And then Art said she makes out with everyone who enters the building.
Maybe that's why they pay her so much.
She has to make out with
people. Can we find her?
I can try.
Maybe.
Yeah.
She went in.
And what?
All right, don't complete that drop.
What?
Please. No, I don't want to complete that drop.
Oh, pizza.
I think we're fairly analyzing the story at this point. I don't want to step too far into the other side.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way. Anyway, I was grappling today with, oh man, what am I going to start the show with? There's so many things. And I had this whole list of local stories. I thought, maybe we just blow through these. And as the day wore on, I was like, no, let's do this one. No, let's do that one. Because there were just so many interesting things going on. A lot of them are local. But there was a story that just blew everything out of the water. It didn't really blow everything out of the water, but it came along at the end, and I decided I'd start with it, and now I haven't started with it, so I kind of lied.
Yeah, my fault.
But I've been trying for a couple days now to get back to kind of the normal show, and it's not that I have anything against stories about racism, but honestly, when I'm watching the news, I forgot what day it was last week, 6th
of the 1st. I'm going to get racial here. I'm going to get racial.
6 of the first 7 stories were racial disputes of some kind with white people doing shitty things to black people.
Yeah.
And this is such a popular story. They had, last night, they had the Waterford restaurant that says no, wait, what's the dress code?
Ghetto gear?
No ghetto. Well, ghetto gear is within the category of they want no FUBU, no ghetto gear, and something else. And they apologized and they changed the dress code, and it was kind of quick and easy. But just another one of those stories where, and I'm not saying it's not a good story. It's not good that it happened, but
it's quite the dress code too, though. Baseball caps only. So
now, what kind of hats are they trying to avoid? Because that's what I was trying to figure out. Because I heard the same type of story about a place in Royal Oak, not our place, but a place in Royal Oak.
Wear that outfit again.
That had a very specific dress code, and I was like, "What?" Because I'm just naive. I don't go out and go to clubs. But I said, "What is that? That sounds ridiculous." And I was like, "Well, they get a lot of fights, and they have a lot of problems, and you know, the explanation, I guess, explained it a bit, but anyway."
I don't know what hat.
So this hat is very similar to the baseball one that Kate Middleton wore. You don't know shit.
Sorry, Brandon, what?
So, like, the hats need to be...
They need to be straight forward or straight back, but they can only be baseball caps, so don't even think of taking, like, a Abraham Lincoln stovepipe in there or anything.
No slash couldn't get in?
No berets?
Slash couldn't get in. Is that the most famous, ridiculous hat that we can think of? A person that always wears a hat?
There's that one guy who has a million hats.
Who?
Divorced Lisa Marie Presley.
Brandon, it's so funny you said that, because I was just going to jump in and say someone was asking me a question about the Kurt Cobain daughter, X, who got the $6 million for the guitar that he had no business having. And this person said, what did she say? She said, oh, is he the hat douche? Like, the hat douche. It really made me laugh out loud.
No, that would be Michael Lockwood. Yeah, and a simple Google search and then click images, and you will know why he is called the hat douche.
He is officially the hat douche. Nice job.
You don't even have to search for the hats. That's the best part.
So I've been trying to sort of get the show rolling with something that's kind of fun and different and, you know, more like the old show. And it seems like every day I have to go, I got to skip this. And it's sort of hard to do. I mean, it really is. If you look at the way the agenda is set and what matters and what, you know, supposedly doesn't matter, what's just eliminated by the, you know, the currency of the protesting and George Floyd.
Yeah. Well, at least COVID's coming back, so now we get those stories.
You know, I saw the news was starting to lead with COVID. I was like, no, you can't do the COVID thing again. You let it go for 3 weeks. We're not doing it. I'm not doing it.
I know.
You can do it.
I almost texted you. I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago when I saw CNN brought back their death counter on the right.
What the?
That would drive you up a wall.
No, come on. We already did this, and then it didn't matter when we had hundreds of thousands of people on the street every night. And so now you can't come back and tell me I have to be just as scared as I was before. And that doesn't mean that I'm not wearing a mask when I go out. I mean, I know how to take care of myself. That's part of my objection to the drama of this whole thing is that, you know, I am allegedly at 60 years old. I hate saying it. Yeah. I'm in a high risk group or a higher risk group.
I'm scared.
I'm compromised. And so I feel the need to be cautious. I should be cautious, and I am. I don't go many places. I'm kind of really watching my step just in case this thing is every bit as bad as it is alleged to be. But when you start telling me that people can decide that, you know, well, racism is a larger health danger than COVID-19, Well, you know, if we're talking about over centuries and centuries, we can have a conversation. But in the immediate, in the right now, when you're talking about, I feel like it's almost saying that their lives don't matter, because go out there and die of COVID just like we told everybody not to, because you believe in this cause. I mean, it almost tells people, well, you're on your own, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
If you were at the state capitol, we'd be chewing your ass out. So anyway, to see it come back like that was pissed me off. But anyway, for all my efforts and all my discussion about my efforts to try to move things forward instead of feeling like I'm in a clogged show all the time, I'm going to fail today, because the first thing I really want to talk about is that Jimmy Kimmel apologized. He finally apologized. And I'll reiterate that I never really wanted Jimmy Kimmel to do anything. I never thought Jimmy Kimmel should be fired. I didn't want him fired. And I resent that all these things from 20 years ago become this giant thing. And I felt the same way about Howard Stern. But when you fire and dox other people for smaller things that are longer ago, I fail to understand why suddenly everyone passes on Howard Stern and says, and by the way, I'm not trying to get Howard Stern doxed, or you can't dox Howard Stern. Everyone knows everything about Howard Stern. Is there a problem with the Whack Pack?
I saw a video spreading today where they were doing a game when they had one of the KKK members in.
Yeah.
If that's what you mean.
No. No, I'm referring to the fact that he has people who are...
Like Wendy?
Exploiting the people with special needs or something.
Yeah, special
like
needs people on, and he'll talk about, you know, the last time she shit her diaper, and, you know, and they get great laughs out of it.
Not my favorite one.
Wendy?
Yeah.
I find her entertaining sometimes, and also there's a humanizing effect.
I don't want him canceled for it. I just, you know, that's fine.
But I'm just, you know, the rules... When you're talking about something that's racist, or it's so horrible because someone said this word, you know, 15 years ago, or someone was in blackface 20 years ago, then don't tell me that that's something they need to be destroyed for. And then Howard Stern video comes up and you go, nah, not that one.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But it's interesting because the ire really does seem to be after Kimmel now. And I would think they're pretty much the same thing.
Well, Kimmel got hit with the trifecta pretty much all in one day. I mean, it hit hard, too.
He's been hit many times before for the Man Show.
Right. Oh, I understand that all this stuff that's come out has already been out. Yeah. Anybody who owned DVDs of the old shows the CDs.
Wait. The N-word that he is singing repeatedly on the disc from KROQ, I'd never heard that. In fact, it is still not that easy to find.
He's fired!
I did find out today. I didn't know that he's done blackface more than once.
Oh, yeah, multiple times.
Other characters.
Multiple
times.
Yeah, and Howard Stern has, too.
Yeah.
So you'd think that if you did blackface, and in Howard's case, it was like a dozen or more. I don't know. Oh, I saw like six pictures of him in blackface doing different characters. And... What?
Sorry.
What?
I just got breaking news.
I saw it. I was gonna wait for it, too. Is it the same one with Bubba?
It goes along with everything, because I was going to actually transition this into some Jesse Smollett and why he was trending.
I'll hit the sounder.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
The FBI has concluded their investigation into the hanging noose.
Yes.
And no crime has been committed because the noose has been there since 2019.
True. I've been seeing this for the last like 2 days. I've been seeing people post pictures of the garage and the pull horn or whatever. I'm sorry, the pull string of the garage doors.
Yes.
They all look like little mini nooses, and they've been there for a while. And it's a lot of people have, you know,
what are the odds?
A string on their,
but it's not for,
but
it's,
look at all the hullabaloo that went on over this thing. And if it had been,
but it wasn't in just every garage. It was just in garage number 4. And what are the odds that Bubba got assigned, the only black driver got assigned to garage number 4. So I guess
that person's a racist and assigned him.
I was going to say, so now I'm starting
banned for NASCAR for life.
I'm starting to believe these theories now that NASCAR set it up because they assigned him to garage number 4.
You know, the whole display for Bubba and his drivers. I thought it was really cool. Yeah, it was great. It's nice. You know, it's no harm, no foul. Okay, so there's no noose. That's even better.
And he clearly thought it was meant for him because he was assigned to the one that had the noose.
Well, if
but
you,
he wasn't
if,
even the one that knew about it. Like, I agree. What happened was I understand the NASCAR that. People called him and told him about it. He didn't find it.
But if you turn on television for an hour of news, and I think that sort of thing, you start seeing, you know, like the Disney covers. Hey, that tower's a penis.
You know,
Princess Bride cover or whatever. All those covers. There's a penis. Yeah. And it's,
that'd be Little Mermaid, Drew.
Little Mermaid. I thought there were a few of them.
There's a bunch.
Oh, there is. Yeah, there's a bunch.
No, it's not a penis. It's a castle or it's a turret. It's not a penis.
Well, also in that movie, the person that's doing the wedding officiator pops a boner. So
what?
Oh, come on. Everybody knows that.
I didn't know
that. Everybody does not know that. Pull it up
so we can
screenshot.
So we can play it for Facebook. Scott on Facebook said, the Ipsy Landing Tower's a penis. You know that one?
No.
At Eastern. You know, you've never seen the Ipsy Tower?
I haven't seen the penis tower.
Watch his boner.
Dearly beloved.
Which one?
The presider, yeah. Watch it.
Okay, that is an animator having fun.
Yeah, I'm glad he did. That was ridiculous.
No, that's really funny. I did not know about that.
And here's the picture of the Little Mermaid cover.
That's very real. You know, with
here's
Bubble,
the Ipsy Tower too. Look, it's total penis. Ipsy Water Tower.
Oh, yeah, it looks like a little.
And look at the tower on Little Mermaid, Drew. Total wiener.
Looks more like a tower with two kinds of concrete. To me.
There's the Little Mermaid. Man,
you know, those animators get bored. I mean, once in a while.
Can't wait to point that out to Charlotte next time we watch it. It's going to be great.
Okay. So, was it Jesse Smollett news, too?
Yes.
No, but I was going to bring this in transition because I was wondering yesterday why Jesse Smollett was trending. I was like, what's new now? What happened? And when I clicked it, I found all these photos of people taking pictures of the drop cord in the garage at NASCAR from a year ago or something and saying, wait a minute, this noose, this quote unquote noose has been there. This is another Jesse Smollett situation. In fact, they were calling it Jesse Wallace or whatever. But
really?
I keep going back to the fact that Bubba Wallace did not know about this. They called him and told him. He didn't walk in and get upset. And
I'm going on this road
that nobody ever heard of.
Because I never thought Bubba Wallace did it. I mean, he seems to me like a really solid guy, and I just didn't think that.
Wife's
honestly,
pretty hot, too. Her fiancé, you see her?
Have not seen her.
Yeah.
I thought that we were going to find out that this was some goofball or somebody who wants attention. Or somebody, it could be a total racist.
What about NASCAR? You like NASCAR?
It could be some racist that snuck in there who's angry about the Confederate flag. I mean, the narrative fit, I suppose, but to spend all that time on it over, 3 days, 2 days? How long's it been?
The weekend. But part of the problem was that race got delayed 2 days, too, so it kept going on from weather.
Yeah, and the display from the drivers and all the people, that was great. I thought it was really cool, and I'm sure Bubba Wallace feels great about it. And it's not his fault in the least. But look at the hysteria, the absolute hysteria, and it's nothing. Look how much time we spent on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to...
Well, it's... We
I'm
know.
Not trying to be, miniaturize racism or anything like that. I'm just saying, couldn't they have maybe just looked into this first?
Well, the FBI is. I mean...
The FBI? I mean, doesn't it seem a little silly?
Yeah.
Couldn't they have done an investigation with the local police or something and determined, oh, shit, that's been there
in Alabama?
And see, this is a problem that Jesse Smollett helps bring on, is now every time one of these things happen, you're going to have so many people that just don't believe it because we've seen what happened when Jesse Smollett faked his beating with the two brothers with MAGA hats.
Jesse Smollett is not the only person who has faked a certain item like that. I'm not saying it happens all the time or it's every incident, but it's quite a few. I mean, surprisingly. In fact, somebody sent me, why did they send me this? Oh, I know what it was. Someone sent me literally a link to a website where they give you all the fake stories. And the reason they sent it was because in Ypsilanti at Eastern Michigan, someone had written racial slurs or painted them on a building, I guess?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it turned Eastern Michigan upside down. The there was an organization, I don't remember, it's a, you know, some organization involving black students, and no, it might have been the whole campus, because I think everybody was upset about it. Marched on the president's house because they weren't doing enough to find the person. It, you know, it's not easy always to find someone who, you know, leaves the asshole, racist motherfucker who goes in and leaves a noose in Bubba Wallace's garage. Now,
you are about to lose your job.
Wouldn't you think Bubba Wallace, by the way, would have enough security that that wouldn't happen?
Well, that's what a lot of people said right out of the gate, is like, those garages are so secure. Nobody can just waltz in there.
I
assume
they were.
Which is why I thought Richard Petty was the one
who
did it.
Well, I mentioned that before the show, was that when this morning they went
silly.
They went on about this story at great lengths, and they made the point three or four times that whoever did this is banned from NASCAR for life. And it kind of made me chuckle, because I'm thinking, this could be just some dipshit, you know, who doesn't even like NASCAR, but he doesn't like, he's a racist and he hates Bubba Wallace or something. And I thought, wait, what if it's Richard Petty?
Yeah.
And he gets banned from NASCAR for life? I mean, they made it sound
well,
like...
Well, you know what he would say then?
We'll
he would say...
I mean, it's my car. I pay for everything. I pay for everything around here, right?
We will find this driver. And the guy's banned for life from NASCAR.
But it'll be interesting to see the follow-up stories on that, because a lot of times you don't see the follow-up story. You just get the original story.
Well, let me go back.
Did you see the follow-up story on the Shake Shack with the New York police? You didn't see that?
I did. I read it. But it wasn't a big deal. It was not a big deal. But, you know, I will say this. For that story, as stupid as the whole cycle is, and I don't want to spend an hour on it, it's like, this is where I feel like we get clogged. You get on one little thing, and it goes whammo, whammo, whammo. And, you know, I haven't even gotten to Jimmy Kimmel yet.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you. Blame it on Matt Riley.
Well, it's the FBI's fault for...
The Shake Shack, when the story first came out, they did say that there was they didn't arrest anyone, and there was no evidence that anyone at Shake Shack did anything. But the way it got from three guys ordering a milkshake to they had bleach in their milkshakes, and it would, you know, this is could be terrorism against a cop, was that was a ridiculous sequence of events. And in the end, it was some acidic substance left on the blender thing. Wasn't it?
Yeah, didn't they clean the, you know, they clean the machines?
Yeah, they cleaned the machines, and they didn't clean the whatever that thing is very well, and so they could taste it in their milkshake, so they just threw them out.
Yeah, they were never
But they
sick.
Never went to the hospital until someone, I think someone else reported to the sergeant, who then said, six officers! I mean, it just it was like the game of telephone. It just got worse, worse. And they went to the hospital. They weren't even feeling that bad, but they went just to make
sure.
What
are they supposed to do if their bosses want them to go?
It's kind of scary. So anyway, before I get to Jimmy Kimmel, let me just wrap up the Eastern Michigan story.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
That story went on for months.
Uh-huh.
There were marches and protests and complaints and so on and so. So I'm watching the story on... No, I read the story online. The story was... Someone in jail did it, and they had been out of jail when they did it, and he was black. And I'm like, oh, my God, all that time, not that they don't have to investigate it, but there was a lot of energy and a lot of anger and just a lot of uprising over this thing that a black guy spray painted. So I'm watching the news. I'm not even going to say what station, because honestly, I couldn't believe my ears. They reported that the person who spray painted the N-word and other things, I guess, on this wall of a building at EMU had been arrested. Mm-hmm. And it was so-and-so, and he already was in jail, but he wasn't when it happened. You know, as I said, he did not say that he was black.
Yep.
Now, isn't that...
A little germane to the story.
I thought it was incredibly germane, because it said, hey, I mean, there's not some, you know, scary... tagging racist running around Eastern Michigan, or at least not one that
Eastern
we know about.
Eastern Eagles, hats off to you. Fight, fight, fight for old EMU. Shout to the sky, the Eastern war cry, the bravest will defy.
Rah, rah, rah,
hold that line for old green and white. Sons and daughters, show your might. So fight, fight for old EMU and victory.
I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this.
This should still be the Hurons, by the way, but
I was going to say, they were the Hurons, and that went by the wayside.
Early 90s. Because the president
Native American?
Because the president of Eastern decided he didn't like it, because the Huron tribe was like, no, please don't change it. And he's like, we're doing it anyway.
Yeah, they were upset. And that kind of, you know, just this yesterday I saw a story about the family of the model who is used for Mrs. Butterworth. And she's devastated. The family in the town are devastated that they've stripped her because
I have her number.
They said that
Mrs. Butterworth
really helped put the town on the map. She was a hero locally because of it. And they were like, don't take that away from us.
I think it was the lady that worked for it. Wasn't it Aunt Jemima, though?
Oh, that might have been.
Yeah. I think the most interesting part of the story is that there's a marker in the town where she's from that she played Aunt Jemima for.
Probably a small town. She's the biggest star in the town.
But Aunt Jemima wasn't.
And she's
signed
going to Ferndale. Radio legend Drew Lane resides here.
Rhea in your dreams. It's not even there on Google. Well, all right. So,
by the way, I'd like to be referred to only as radio legend Drew Lane from now on.
What was the other story? Were you supposed to finish another story?
Well, Jimmy Kimmel. We never got started. Yeah. What were you going to say?
No, nothing.
Oh, okay.
Just unless you wanted to call the lady who's mad that.
Well, that would be another diversion from Jimmy Kimmel, which means the show can't officially start.
Exactly.
But we can come back to it. There's another call I'd like to make today. It's kind of funny. But hang on.
Well, when you get to the hall read.
Zot Ford and DealsInDD.com fired up because everybody's back. Everybody's back at work. It's safe. Everything's disinfected on a regular basis. They've got the hottest sales staff in Oakland County, and they've got Jim Bentley. Is Jim moving some wheels?
Yeah. Last time I talked to him, yeah.
Good. Maybe he's moving some of those 2020 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4s.
Hi, Jim. Thank you.
As low as $125 a month. Or maybe he's selling cars to people instead of leasing them because they have over $10,000 in rebates on tons of inventory. And then there's, of course, the 2020 Fusion, as low as $115 a month. And let's not forget the all-new 2020 Ford Explorer, as low as $198 a month. Factory shutdown means inventory is a little light, so the sooner the better in terms of choices. So get the party started at dealsinthed.com. And I will also mention our friends at Adam. If you're a man facing divorce or you got custody issues, happens all the time, call Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men, because with Adam, you can get divorced without losing your house or your kids. And a lot of people feel that that's a done deal. Not necessarily. Not at all. During the pandemic, Adam's offering 10% discount to healthcare workers because they know the men working on the front lines need to get divorced too. Don't wish it on anybody, but it does happen. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. And the Hall Financial Hotline has...
Oh, well, besides...
Is there something else besides Aunt Jemima? Did people call her Aunt Jemima?
I guess. I don't know. She was just an ambassador, though. It wasn't based on her or anything.
Jemimes!
That's one of them. Brandon had numbers for Chop/Chaz in Seattle, including a listener who lives right by there. And the other story is, you hear about Gilbert Gottfried's daughter's bar mitzvah on Zoom?
No. Somebody got in there and flashed or something.
70-year-old was nude on it.
Wait, a dude?
No, lady, 70-year-old lady. And then when they
on
told
on purpose?
No, she didn't know how to work Zoom. And her camera's
why
on.
Why is she nude?
Her audio, because she went swimming and she was getting in the shower while celebrating this bat mitzvah.
So she just left it on?
Yeah, but the audio wasn't on, so everyone telling her that, you're nude. So I think Richard Belzer had to call her and let her know, like, hey, you're nude. But anyway, her name was listed in the story, so I looked it up. She sounded funny because when told.
Oh my God, that's funny.
When they told her that she was walking around nude on Zoom, she said, that's how I roll. That was the quote.
What was that? Was there a drop?
Yeah.
You can smell my fart.
Is she, I mean, I don't want to ask if she's hot because that's rude about someone 70 years old, but I mean, what
hot,
does,
yes.
Is there a screenshot of it?
No. Uh-uh.
Oh, there isn't?
No. Well, there might be,
there's
but not,
gotta be.
Not publicly.
Yeah. I mean, not that
Gilbert
I need
and
to
ask
see
him?
It, but I wish we could call Gilbert and ask him. Yeah. Well, anyway, we got to make that call. The Hall Financial Hotline is where we make all our calls, going out and coming in occasionally, and Hall Financial is here to help you refinance your home and hopefully save a lot of money. They've done it so many times for so many people, and they're so fast. Just click the link on our website, fill out the online form, and they'll get back to you in a hurry. Or call 248-308-5000 or go to davidhallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike. If you haven't refinanced in the last year, Hall Financial thinks they can probably save you some money. It's worth a try. It's a phone call, a little bit of information exchanged, and you might be on your way to lowering your monthly payments, getting some extra money in your pocket. Maybe you need to pull some money out because you got cash flow issues, or maybe you want to refi and skip a few payments. Why not see if you can save some money or cut your term? Hall Financial, lower payments, better options, more personal attention, NMLS number 1467435.
And yeah, I was going to say, you know, CHOP or CHAZ, whatever you want to call it, it seems like it might be coming to an end soon because the mayor in Seattle announced that they're going to start trying to disassemble all the walls right. and stuff like that. But a lot of people think that it may just come to a head. You know, there might be some issues. Well, we did get a call, really long call on the Boner line from listener Rob, who lives in that area. He had a lot of information. We can always give him a ring. Or there's also some other people that we know in the Seattle area. There's Sanjaya's dad. He lives in Seattle. I don't know. We haven't talked to him in a while.
He's in Seattle?
Yeah.
Sanjaya, I was always in Washington, D.C.
No. When do we want marijuana? When do we want it? 2 p.m.
What's with these fucking low drops? What is going on with that? Can everybody else hear it? Or am I the only one?
I heard it. It's the levels are okay on it.
I swear to God, the levels previous are like one was half too low. Of it sounds like half level to me.
Well, ML was sitting there messing with all those fucker. Too.
No, I'm just wondering if something's wrong.
No.
Or if it's just the drop. No.
And then there's also...
And why can't I fucking hear it?
Well, the previous one was too low.
I know, but why was that one too low? Why do they all sound too low to me today? What the fuck?
Turn my headphones up!
That one sounded fine.
Wayne says to fix your stuff.
But we have the Dirty Dog, which is a restaurant that is currently serving the inhabitants of CHOP. So it's in business. And then Cartender, which is right next to CHOP. And that was a building that keeps getting broken into, and they keep calling the cops, and no one's showing up to it. So there's a whole bunch of different options for Seattle if we take that route.
Should we just skip the Jimmy Kimmel story since it seems like we're never, ever going to get to it?
I think we should do it.
Oh, my God. Because I have a lot of stuff about CHOP, too. I mean, CHOP, the CHOP story is fascinating to me.
But then definitely do Jimmy Kimmel.
What, you don't like the CHOP story?
No, I'm fine with it. I just... Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. I think somewhere in the truth is somewhere in the middle, because you hear people like the listener who left a long message saying that, you know, it's just it's like a hippie commune, and these people do it all the time. And then you have, you know, the national media that's like, it's total anarchy and they're killing people. And yeah, I mean, it's a fact that two people got shot. I mean, there was the conflict and the disagreement about could police get in there.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's under debate, though. They said, is The Guardian a good source?
I'm not a big fan of The Guardian, personally.
Okay, but. Well, The Guardian was one of the places I read. I'm trying to think of, I was watching KING TV in Seattle, which I assume is a good selection, and also the Seattle Times. Now, is that an alternative paper, or is that the...
Oh, isn't that the big one there?
Why was I thinking there's a Seattle... Intelligencer?
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. But that's not what they said. They said that the police tried to get in. They were sort of met with conflict, and they didn't want to push it. So the fire department with medics...
Well, to that point, that other story, that came from the police themselves. But then at the same time, there's video that doesn't show any of the conflict when they arrive. So I don't know. Who knows? Maybe they got in and then there was conflict. Like I said, the truth is going to be somewhere.
This should not be in
there.
Debate, though. It should be simple. I mean, let's get the Seattle Times. Let's just get the story. Because the Seattle Times, why would the Seattle Times have interests in lying?
Well, I don't think they do. I'm just wondering, like, who said it. I'm looking for it.
I can't find my phone.
Are we talking about Jimmy Kimmel?
What a story!
No, I'm sick of this story. I just want to know what happened. I want to know what really happened. Are they really
angry?
Were people shot? They said three people were shot there over the weekend. They also said there were rapes. There was a rape.
Calm down.
Rapes.
It's okay.
Arson.
Well, it definitely was
burglary,
arson.
Burglary. And they had multiple residents on KING TV who would not be identified because they were afraid, saying that they wanted their lives back and that they feel they cannot go out and come back at night because... They don't feel safe and they're not comfortable in their home. Some of them have moved and are staying somewhere else. In the meantime, there's loud music. They made it sound like the protesting or, you know, whatever's going on, which, by the way, I didn't know this could be a full time job or what exactly is going on all the time.
This is from the Seattle Times. Is this the one you were talking about? Seattle phased down CHOP at night.
Police. Well, whatever's going on over there has got to stop.
Police will return to the East Precinct. Is that the one you were talking about?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I saw it. Is that a news story?
Most recent.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is this morning when I read it.
It's really funny. They're going to phase it down, phase down nighttime activity. So it gets
That's my point, though, is that they said that until it starts getting dark, it was okay. I mean, they didn't like it because there's barricades around them. And, you know, some of them feel they cannot get their cars out of their garage because they got to go through this and that and this and that. And they have to be sort of let out and let in. So this is, I mean, I don't care if the police got in or didn't get in. I mean, I thought they didn't get in. And I thought the fire department wouldn't go in because they said they wanted the police to clear the area. They were not going to go in unless the police could go in to clear the area. And the second shooting, the first night, there were two people shot. Go ahead.
I was going to say the mayor said they are not going to use the police to clear the area, too. So good luck with that.
No.
And
no, they're going to use – they want community leaders to clear the area. They announced – this is insane to me.
But to your point, the mayor's also saying it's getting – the impact on business and residents in the community are too much now. So let's knock it off.
Businesses are closed.
Yeah.
Their businesses – in fact, one guy was quoted as saying
– Chop's going to have hours of 8 to 8, they say.
He said, I have to pay people, and, so they're never leaving. They're just 8 to 8.
Well,
I don't know if I want to go eat lunch there, if I'm going to have a hassle getting in, or I got to...
It's not just
the businesses that are currently in that area. But it's also future business. For example, the Smead Capital Management, they had $1 billion investment in Seattle. They just pulled that.
Oh, I'm sure they'd love to be in the middle of CHOP.
They just pulled it today.
Well, how boring of them. They sound like really racists. They should be canceled for not being in the CHOP area. Wait, did you say $1 billion?
Smead Capital, yeah.
Well, that seems like kind of a loss to Seattle. Everyone's dancing around this like, these people are wonderful, and George Floyd, and they're doing poetry readings, and honestly,
that's the worst part about it.
Well, it has to be subjective.
Poetry reading?
My personal opinion on this, and it starts and it pretty much ends here. The rest is just additional bullshit, is when you take over six blocks and I live there or I have my business there or I work in one of those businesses there, that's fucking nuts. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. I didn't know you could do that. And then it goes on for 3 weeks and the mayor says, maybe we'll have a summer of love. Well, it's not a summer of love. In fact, as I mentioned, the people on the KING story did not want to be identified. They feared retribution, and they were saying they wanted their lives back. They were acting like they were terribly put out, and the businesses weren't happy either. So, but unlike the mayor, who said it was maybe we'll have a summer of love, and it went on and on and on. And let's see. There's debate among policymakers and activists over how to discourage nighttime violence. Because at night the music gets loud. There's a lot of people with guns. And the mayor said the city will continue to make changes in partnership. this statement is amazing. The city will continue to make changes in partnership with Black-led community organizations, demonstrators, small businesses, residents, and trusted messengers so we can de-escalate violence. So in other words, she's putting the community organizations and the demonstrators on par with small businesses and residents. What, they don't deserve a little more to say about someone taking over where they live?
So it's interesting, too, because you would know that this is just the way it works now. Some of the original protesters are really upset because it's becoming hijacked by the activism industry. It's being hacked or hijacked by capitalism.
Oh, really?
Well,
if capitalism were hijacking it, CHOP would be gone.
Well, no.
And the businesses would be able to do business.
But that's what I'm saying. They're complaining about the activism industry, which that's...
Oh, I see.
That's what I mean.
Well, still... But cap is it really cap? Well, yeah.
Yeah,
it
absolutely...
Part capitalism.
Of course it is.
Yeah, Black Lives Matter has a lot of money.
But the industry, my friends, that was a revolution.
And on the shootings, there's no information on the suspects. And the police cannot get the shell casings. They're requesting the shell casings from CHOP so they can investigate these two shootings. No luck. The third victim, which I was going to mention, who was shot, a 17-year-old, which is great, 17-year-old in CHOP in the middle of the night, gets shot. He was taken to the hospital in a private car. So he was not...
Sounds like Seattle.
No police.
A rideshare.
Maybe it was. And there's a business owner right next to Chop who is livid because he said police would not respond to a burglary because his shop is, it's not quite within Chop, but it's very close to Chop. So he felt, I guess, why doesn't he have Chop security? To Chop has police. Yeah. Why didn't they take care of it?
Cartender. I have his number too.
Oh, okay, let's call Cartender. Why not?
But Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, now we're all this way in Chop. Who do we want to call in Chop?
I should think we should call our listener, too.
Jimmy!
We have people who are actually inside Chop?
I don't know. Well, do you want to play his message, and then you can decide if you want to talk to him?
Yeah, I guess.
I like calling Sanjaya's dad. I mean, that guy's always...
Yeah, I'll go with Sanjaya's dad.
Always been a straight shooter.
That's in between. It's less... it's a little more intense.
In our conversations with him, I think we're the ones that have lied more.
Oh, I don't know. Is he really, Sanjaya, really not there every time we call?
Okay, fair enough. He's hiding Sanjaya from
us. Yeah, let's call Sanjaya's dad.
Hey, fellas. This is Rob Kahn from Seattle. Been listening to you guys since 2003. Ooh! Just want to let you know. So I'm your local Chop representative, also Chaz representative, whichever you need. Hey, just want to let you know, I know Drew was pretty hot talking about the subject on the Sunday or Monday show this week, 22nd June, and just want to let you know, this is pretty normal for Seattle. Nothing unusual here. There's a lot of misinformation in the news, but basically a bunch of children get together in neighborhoods like Capitol Hill and decide
who are you?
To do something to get attention, and they go and basically shut down a bunch of public space. And then in about 3 weeks, everyone forgets about it, and then they just kind of move on. And then it happens again.
They just move on.
So just to let you know right now, I live about 2 miles south of there. Everything's normal here.
Hey.
You know, as normal as it can be. We're just barely into phase two for COVID, but a lot of businesses are reopened. Life's pretty normal. Not very affecting any other neighborhoods. I went into Capitol Hill twice last weekend and got pretty close to the streets, and they're not totally barricaded, by the way. It's pretty lame. Pretty big pain, I should say.
I think it's the one thing we can all agree on.
He likes it so much. Why doesn't Chop move to his neighborhood?
Yeah, I wouldn't go there at night.
It's pretty lame.
Seems pretty sketchy. You know,
See?
Guy was killed. And yeah, basically, the police were on.
So Chop just needs to be a daytime activity.
The edge of the protest area. Police and fire couldn't do their normal routine, which is part of the reason why the guy that eventually died had to be taken by private car.
Yeah, that's not okay. That's not even close. I mean, he may be fine with it. Sounds like he likes it.
Anyway, it's pretty normal stuff. Right now, everybody's pissed off at each other, including the mayor, the police chief, fire chief, everybody. And they're all just literally, they're all pissed off at each other. But nobody's really doing anything about it. So my guess is in about 2-3 weeks, it'll be done. And everything's back to normal. Okay, talk to you later.
Now hang up the phone, all right? Because there's a lot of other guys at the gay bar who need to use it, all right?
Here's the best part today is that the announcement was made by the mayor, Carmen...
Electra.
San Diego.
Carmen Best. Carmen Best said that she wants everybody to know that the police will return to the area. Now, that they have a headquarters there. They have a very large building.
That's the police chief. That's not the mayor.
You're talking to Jenny Durkin?
Oh.
Durkin's the mayor.
Yeah, okay, Carmen Best is police chief. Okay, Jenny Durkin promised that the police will return to the area in the near future. Well, that's nice, because that's where their building is. That's where their precinct
is. I'll be back.
That's where they work. So, you know, maybe he sounds like it's an everyday thing, so just move it to his neighborhood and everything will be fine. He likes it so much.
Sounds like there's a daytime and a nighttime shift.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, personally, I don't want Chop in my, I don't know, maybe you guys want Chop in your neighborhood. I don't want Chop in my neighborhood, not where I live, not where I pay taxes. You know, maybe I'm just a big fucking stiff, but I don't want Chop. I don't want to hear, and maybe it's a not in my backyard thing. If it's not in your backyard in Seattle, maybe you don't give a shit. Maybe it's kind of exciting, even.
Queen Anne Hill, oh yeah.
I don't want people reading poetry all day in front of my house either.
Oh, God. Please have a grand old time in the Emerald City, in the Jet City, in the Rain City. This city's got so many nicknames, it's ridiculous. Some people call it the City of Flowers. Some people call it the City of Goodwill. I call it Seattle.
So you want to go with Sanjaya's dad? Or
yeah, let's call Sanjaya's dad.
We should do Cartender, too.
First, though, that's the company that police wouldn't respond to.
Yeah.
I want to mention Emergency Response Services Incorporated. If you have water or if you have CHOP, I don't think they respond to CHOP. I'm not sure they include that emergency.
They're going to clean up that mess?
Just about any. Well, they would actually. They would after CHOP left and it left your if it was messy. But a CHOP is so wonderful, it probably looks better than when they got there before. So for that reason, Emergency Response Services Incorporated would not be much help. But when it comes to fire damage, storm damage, mold removal, or excessive water in your basement, call Emergency Response Services Incorporated, 877-JOB-DONE. Just put it in your refrigerator, 877-JOB-DONE. Then you know when something really shitty happens, that's who you call.
You'll be ready for it.
Yeah. Right? You don't even have to examine exactly what it is that happened. I mean, it could be that your kid cut his head. Just call, no, I'm kidding. water, mold, fire, storm damage. And that is Emergency Response Services Incorporated, 877-JOB-DONE. Put that number in your fridge. Or visit 877jobdone.com and tell them we sent you. And Sanjaya.
I think it is.
What if Sanjaya is actually there for the first time ever?
Have a great time in Seattle.
Because he could get a gig singing.
Oh, look at that wonderful space needle.
And CHOP.
It's such a wonderful
He was taking acting lessons, wasn't he?
I
don't even remember what he was doing.
It's a fine area. It's always rainy in Seattle.
This might be his best song.
I like when he gets really generic.
Yeah, there are lots of good people in Seattle. Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Hello, sir. Is this Sanjaya's dad?
Yes, who's calling?
This is the Drew and Mike show in Detroit. We've spoken a few times before looking for Sanjaya.
Hi, Mr. Malachar.
Yeah, how are you?
How are you doing, sir?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
Things are good. We had a Seattle question, though, and we knew you were in Seattle, and we thought, well, who would know more about something like this than Sanjaya's dad?
You're our best friend in Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle is doing the same thing. It's almost halfway closed.
Can you tell us, Mr. Malachar, Sanjaya's dad, also known as Sanjaya's dad, the area known as CHOP, it's Capitol Hill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What can you tell us about CHOP? Have you been there at all in the last 3 weeks, or do you know much about it?
Oh, no. We just, whatever we see on the TV, we never been there.
Why haven't you been there? Because I think you do support some of the protesters, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't?
I supporting this, the Black Lives Matter, but I'm not on the protesting.
I gotcha.
Now, why is there? Because we're trying to understand CHOP. Because it seems that someone is just a group has taken over six blocks of pretty prime property, and we don't understand it. We think, is there something going on sale that we don't, as Midwesterners, we just don't understand it, and we need explained by Mr. Malachar, perhaps.
No, because the police give them freedoms. They don't want to fight over with it. With protest, so mm-hmm. they're just giving the site place, so they safe place, so they can stay there. But they're captured the plate for a long time. Now is some weird people comes in the on that area and start to firing and damaging the property, all the stuff. But
yeah.
There's some good groups, some bad groups, and we don't know exactly who doing what.
No, I thought it was the Summer of Love.
Yeah, that is true. Summer of love, but the corona, the virus is killing everybody.
Oh.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. No, boy, it's just so strange because I can't imagine this happening in my neighborhood where someone just decides, hey, these six blocks are ours. But my understanding is, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the police are so dangerous and they kill so many people that these people think they're safer with no police at all.
Yeah, because there's a lot, especially especially Capitol Hill and area, is a lot of black people get killed. So a lot of, not today, as it has continued going on last 20 years.
So do you agree that
they don't even call? They don't even call 911. If they call 911, it's in that area people, the police going to take like an hour to go there. If they go there, they're going to do something harassment. So that's why they don't even call police.
So would you feel safer with no police than the Seattle police?
Well, I'm not in Seattle. I'm living now as in Tacoma because I'm out of King County. I bought a new house and I just tried to stay up
Congratulations on the new house.
Yeah. Thank
hey, does Sanjay get a room there, or because he's moved out, no room for him? It's what is it? Your den now?
No, he's living in the. I think I talked to you. He lives in Montana.
Yeah. No, I've seen it on his Instagram. But when he comes home, he doesn't have like, hey, where's my room, Dad?
Oh, because yeah, I have a guest room. I have a guest room. I have three kids.
Are all his American Idol trophies in there?
I don't see anyone.
You got a trophy for that?
Are you going to give him one or what?
Are they all in storage, or did you make him take them?
I don't know. I don't have. I never saw one. Sorry.
What about his, I forget your daughter's name, because she was on, wasn't she on Somebody. Idol? Does she live at home?
Yeah. No, she's gotten married. She lived in Montana.
What? Oh,
well, she is too. Wait, now why can't Sanjaya and your daughter start a, you know, like the Carpenters, the brother-sister singing band?
The Malachars.
No, yeah, he's still singing. singing.
Did they ever consider that, though? Because Karen Carpenter and Richard Carpenter were very close, and they had just the harmonies were beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
No?
Yeah, I heard that. I meet one time, long time before with them too.
Sounds like it was not really an option.
Now, who's this guy she married? Did you approve?
Who?
Your daughter.
Her husband.
You said she was married.
Yes, he's married, but she knows him for 10 years.
And oh, okay.
Then they got married. Finally, they got married, and they stay in, living in Montana because he has house in Montana.
And what's Sanjay doing for work these days? Because I haven't seen him on, I haven't heard him on the radio lately.
He's still in the music groups he have, and then he's also doing part time the restaurant job.
So oh, I see.
Okay.
Do you go to any of the gigs to watch him sing?
I went a couple of times.
Yeah?
But now he's a little bit farther away, so I cannot go all the time.
What if he had a gig in Chop? Would you go see him?
At midnight.
Only an hour away.
I'm not an hour away. He's far away now. He's in Montana, and from Washington is long, far away.
No, but what if he got booked in Capitol Hill, in the Chop area?
I'd love to go there. Yes, I'd love to go there.
Okay. I'm confused.
Well, if we just get him the gig.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Mr. Malachar, it's very helpful. I'm glad you were able to explain to us how much you like Chop and that this thing is pretty cool to you. And your new home in Tacoma, and we've really gotten up to speed pretty much on everything. So thanks so much for your time, sir.
You're welcome. Thank
okay, you have a great day.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, everybody lives there, loves it.
Poop, poop, poop. Seattle. Poop, 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 poop.
I have his email number if you want me to give it to you.
It sounds like everybody loves it unless you live there.
Brandon, I thought he was still on the line when you played that.
It happens to me all the time with drops.
And Jaya's dad rules.
He's pretty
great.
Cool.
He's a great guy. I like him.
I'm not sure about
I feel like
the...
there's two chops. There's the daytime chop, which is like a hippie commune, probably smells with poetry reading, and then at night it's just a disaster.
Well, call the place that couldn't get the cops to come.
All right.
We can dump on the cops a little more because they've been getting off easy here.
Bartender.
What's it called?
Cartender.
It's called Cartender. Is it like... It's like an AutoZone type place, I think. I don't know.
Well, they're not mad at the cops, though, right?
Yeah, they are kind of mad at the cops.
I thought they were mad at Chop because they called and the cops wouldn't show up.
Well, I think that's... They claim they're technically not in the Chop zone.
Remember Slap Chop?
Thanks for calling. Cartender, Isabel speaking.
Hi, Isabel. It's the Drew and Mike Show calling in Detroit. We're calling to find out. We had heard that you guys had an incident at the...
Hang on just a second.
Oh, okay. There. Okay. Jeez.
Poor lady.
You heard it right away. She was like, yeah, bye.
I know. She's exhausted by it.
I feel the same way today. I'm just exhausted by everything.
Are you exhausted of Matt's songs?
At the moment, I might be.
Oh, what?
Just at the moment. I don't like 20 songs of his in one day. But
I'm in two.
I like being surprised when he has a song about something I would have never dreamed, which seems to happen a lot.
Thanks for calling Cartender John speaking.
Hey, John, it's the Drew and Mike Show calling from Detroit, and we know you're near the Chop Zone, aren't you?
Yep, we're right across from the corner of it.
I see. And how do you like being near Chop? I mean, is Chop pretty cool for business?
That would be a no.
I had a feeling that might be the case. And then I was led to believe, and we're trying to sort of get through the accounts of what's happening, because for a couple weeks I was reading that Chop is a lovely place, and all the reports of it being, there were people saying it was anarchy and madness, that all that's phony, and it's a big summer of love. And then we heard that there were some shootings over the weekend, and then there was also something mentioned about your business, and that you had an incident there, and I don't know if it was related to Chop, and that the police did not respond because they don't want to deal with it.
Correct.
Now, what happened to your shop?
Well, if you go onto the YouTube and you type in Cartender,
okay,
you can see specifically.
Is that getting a lot of hits?
To be perfectly honest, I haven't looked.
I mean, can you...
I'm a small business owner trying to run a family business, trying to mind my P's and Q's.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a story about Chop today, and the mayor finally said, yeah, they probably ought to get moving along here and get the police back there in the near future. And I'm just stunned reading these things because I'm just an old boomer in Michigan. So I don't understand the advantage to having people take over six blocks. I guess I'm just a stiff in that sense. But they were asking residents about it, and they wouldn't even give their names because they feared retribution.
Correct.
And they were scared. They felt uncomfortable in their own homes.
Correct.
Do you feel safe running a business there?
No. But I really don't have an option.
Yeah.
At this point. The business is here. We have to do our best to take care of the customers that will show up and, keep moving forward.
I got to say, you sound a little stressed.
Very much so.
Yeah. Wow, that's tough. Now, how about the business? You're not right in Chop. What about the ones right in Chop? Are they unhappy?
Very unhappy.
why do we have trouble getting the real story here? Because we're talking to people saying that, oh, no, it's just great fun, and everyone loves this, and it's no big deal in Seattle. But then it seems that when you talk to people in the zone or people in business like yourself, not so much.
Well, I guess... I just had a woman that's a neighbor run onto my lot, fearing for her life, with the person following her, screaming and yelling obscenities at her. And she was, shaking and said, please hide me. She lives here.
Technically she lives in,
the Chop Zone, air quotes.
Well, what happened? Why was she being chased?
I don't know 100%.
What, do you think it was reasonable?
Well, I would say, yeah. I mean... She called 911, and they said that they weren't coming. So, I don't know. If you're fearing for your life, is that reasonable?
Yeah.
You tell me.
I would say so.
Why do you feel your store was targeted, though? I'm watching these videos on YouTube, and I without context, it's just kind of confusing.
Well, I mean, I have no idea why my store would be targeted.
Yeah, you're just there, right? You just happen to be close, so there's a lot of spillover.
Was there a confrontation beforehand? Because that seems like a lot of it's this weird confrontation. I just wondered how that would have started.
Well, you would have to do some psychological.
Yeah, I don't think
on the people that on the the gentleman that broke into the building.
It's not anything Cartender did. This is just something that just came to you.
Well, it was probably I have a business here. It's an opportunity for somebody to
sure
I don't know if you followed the story at all. The gentleman that broke into our building broke into a couple other car dealerships on the 11th, then broke into our store on the night of the 14th, and then we let the gentleman go because if we didn't, the angry mob. Well, they came through the fence anyways.
The
threat was that if we didn't let him go, that they were coming, and they threatened, and then did come. So, but we let him go prior to that. But, anyways.
Well, what I'm trying to figure out is why. Because I've been reading about CHOP. I've been fascinated with CHOP because I don't understand how this can even be happening. Where you just take over property that's not yours. A lot of property. 6 blocks of property. I remember during the Vietnam War, students were occupying buildings at colleges to protest, and they'd be kicked out, in a few hours. It'd be over, but go back to real life. But this has been going on for a long time, and it seems that people are afraid to criticize it.
No, it's the fear is of retribution.
Right. Well, that's fear, isn't it?
Yes, but you also have to quantify it.
Are you mad that they vacated that precinct, or do you feel like the police had no choice other than to vacate?
I have done no intel, so I do not know anything that was going on in any of the backstories. All I know is that I'm a small business owner, repair taxes. We expect to be protected by the police department, the city council, the mayor, and the governor. And none of them have been stepping up to the plate.
Okay, that's a part of my question is why, we're reading all different accounts of CHOP. In one account, it's this wonderful place where people are protesting and community organizers are trying to make things better without police, because police are randomly killing so many people, or they're so aggressive that you're safer with no police.
So I have a question for you.
Okay.
2 people were shot, 1 dead Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
There were reportedly more shootings Saturday night. There were more shootings Sunday night, more shootings last night. You tell me how well they're doing at self-policing.
No, it sounds ludicrous to me. I would absolutely find it insane that it would ever start. But as I mentioned, we see a lot of accounts where it's described as, oh, it's this wonderful thing, and they got their own police. And
I have many friends that are on my, that are on Facebook saying the same things, and I just, basically told them, take a little deeper look. Yeah.
Well, they're not in CHOP, are they?
But they came to visit.
Yeah. Oh, I see. So during the day, it might appear that it's one thing.
Well, and then, I mean, you would have to talk to the other business owners that are in there,
okay.
That have been raped, sexually assaulted, been roughed up, and told that if they painted over graffiti and things like that, their buildings would be burned down. You'd have to tell them how safe they feel.
Yeah, I heard there was an arson there, and I did see some business owners were complaining because of people just feel they can spray paint anything on the front of their office or their business.
Correct.
Well, I'm not sure how this can be anything but horrible.
Well, I mean, you're going to have to. I mean, it is. It's not good, and the sad thing is, it takes away from what the whole.
The original protest.
The movement.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just completely obliterated it.
How do you think it's going to resolve?
I honestly don't know. I hope that they all figure it out and just, pack their stuff up and get the heck out.
I think they're
just going to get bored.
Not sure it's going to resolve itself that way. They
don't know that that's going to get resolved that way. We're just going to have to watch and see. Everybody's going to have to do their best to protect themselves because the police are not coming.
What I guess, in the end, I find it stunning that there's no one looking out for you.
There is.
There is?
Yeah.
Oh, there's no one or there is someone?
There is someone, yeah. I get up and I look in the mirror and that's the person that's looking out for me.
But, the idea that there's crime going on, that somebody is burglarizing your building and a mob is demanding you turn them over, that scares the shit out of me.
It did me as well.
Probably a lot more than
Do you, what other security do you have there? Do you have other people helping out?
Well, Chop has her own police, so.
Yeah, have you talked to the Chop police?
Yeah, good luck with that.
I'm kidding.
Who are you, let's, from the government perspective, who are you most upset with, the police chief or the mayor or maybe even Governor Inslee?
I would, from everything that I can gather, the police department's hands are tied and that they're behaving in a manner in which they're allowed to by the city council, the mayor, and the governor. And so if you're going to blame anyone in particular, it would have to be the city council, the mayor, and the governor.
No.
And then I guess if you wanted to go one step up, you know, there was a lot of threats that, you know, the president stated that he was going to come clean it up if they didn't. He hasn't come to clean it up, so.
Do you want him to?
Well, again, I'm a small business owner that pays taxes.
You just want somebody to clean it up. You don't really care who it is, do you?
It needs to get cleaned up, and it needs to be somebody that knows how to do it properly. I have not spent my life, you know, trying to be a politician, trying to be a strategist for situations like this. Other people are built and programmed for this, and they should be doing their job.
Of course.
I'm trying to do my job to take care of my customers and the families that work for me, and they're not doing their job.
Yeah, I don't know how something like this can drag on for more than 3 or 4 days, to be honest. And
well,
also,
we're well into the third week now.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And we were talking about it before we talked to you. And if you read accounts, some people say it's just the greatest thing ever and gets a little crazy at night sometimes. But other people feel it's absolutely hideous and it must come to an end and it's dangerous. And, you know, the police are saying they can't get casings from the shootings and they can't investigate them. That's not good.
No, it's not.
Well, I'm so sorry about what you're going through, and I hope Cartender Comes Through is okay, and this thing is wrapped up pretty soon. And I'm probably not too divergent from the way you feel about it.
That would be accurate, true.
Well, thank you so much for your time, John.
Yeah.
No worries.
Okay. Good luck.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That sounds like a gas.
I guess he's pumping somebody.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, though, did you watch? I thought you were watching some of the videos, Brandon. Could you make heads or tails as to what was going on there?
No, I couldn't. I mean, then again, I had the volume turned down, so I couldn't hear what was said, but it just kind of seemed like a big ruckus.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with John and Cartender. It's malarkey. It's just crap.
No, I'm just curious as to why that one. I don't know.
Why they got broken into?
Yeah.
Because people are stupid and crazy, and they're... I mean, I'm not going to call it anarchy, but it's pretty fucking nuts.
Car parts or something.
And the cops don't want anything to do with it.
Hey,
I don't blame them.
I'm looking at Chop Live right now. It looks boring, and there's nobody there.
No bubble guy?
No bubble guy. There's some idiot walking a tiny little dog.
Well.
Pretty boring. So Jimmy Kimmel.
I got to get a break. I have to break. God, there's so many things today. The guy jumped off the building, 27
stories.
You
want a boner line to break
Binger?
Things up?
Yeah, let's do the boner line, but let me first mention Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, dealsind.com. Their community, customers, and Zot team excited to be back at full strength with all the disinfecting and social distancing and all the care being given to make sure that you can make your dream wheels come true and take advantage of some great deals at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Drive Forward event. So here you go, 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn, only $188 a month. If Jeeps are what you dig, check out the new 2020 Loaded Jeep Compass at just $155 a month. Then there's always the new 2020 Grand Jeep Cherokee as low as $247 a month. And the Wrangler. Get Zot employees pricing for everyone, 0% financing, and $1,500 in rebates if you want a new Jeep Wrangler right now. Speaking of right now, you got to hurry because, as you know, the shutdown has inventory drying up quickly. That means your best selection is today. So get the party started at dealsind.com. And the boner line, of course, is brought to you by Manscaped. I know a couple of people mentioned they just got it. They're very happy.
Yeah, no pubes for them.
And they love the stand. The Stand is really the star of the Manscaped experience.
Oh, I disagree. I think the light is the light's batting third in that lineup.
Well, maybe we'll have a Twitter poll one day and debate whether it's the
Stand
LED
is
light.
Solid. Yeah.
The LED light illuminates grooming areas for a closer, more precise trimming. It's water resistant, too. You can take it in the shower.
Yep, for 90 minutes.
And we can't forget the charging stand. Show off your mower loud and proud because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. Imagine how you've got a... I don't know, somebody you just met, young lady at your home,
yeah.
And she goes in the bathroom and sees your Manscaped 3.0 in its charging dock. It's going to make her feel comfortable.
Yeah, she's going to know you're clean down there, smooth.
Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Drew at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code Drew at manscaped.com, and they sponsor the Boner Line.
Well, today is actually a very special Choiceo boner line. So, I have three boner lines, one for the next 3 days.
Okay.
Do you want a boner line that is specific to Drew's latest request on drops? People asking about drops that they want to hear again. Do you want a boner line that's just kind of a mishmash of everything and kind of what's going on in the show? Or do you want a boner line that is unfortunately... separated at births because they have not stopped.
No,
I have a million of them.
I say drops.
Drew.
Drew.
Is the mishmash? Is that of current things or things that just happened?
Things over the last couple weeks. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go with drops. I asked for drops. Let's have some drops and let's get some more drops too. I don't feel like should we have to do all one thing. I mean, can we sprinkle it around if people call in more drops? Because I'd be excited to find some of those old drops that we miss.
That's why I want to do that one, so we start looking for them.
Yes.
So call the Boner Line 209-66-BONER if you have an old drop that you're wondering why didn't you ever play that, you guys. Especially if it's from a movie, because then we can find it for sure.
Especially if you feel that and that you would say it in that tone.
Or maybe some drop that you feel just doesn't get justice. We don't play it enough, or we played it for a week and then it disappeared. So here we go. Let's hear about some drops that people miss on the Boner Line.
I just heard the request for old, forgotten drops, and the one that I have been waiting for forever. You're under arrest for public display of a boner.
All right, freeze. You're under arrest for public display of a boner.
This one, I believe, was one of Mike Clark's favorites. It was the, what's this big muscle guy?
Drops that you need to bring back is, what rippling muscles.
Oh, what rippling muscles.
And also, no.
Replacing the audio separator at birth. I have a drop request that we haven't heard in a while. Want to hear Ken Jeong from Community?
Ha! Gay!
Got a couple drops for you guys. I don't want to see your wiener, and, no way.
I don't want to see your wiener.
Oh, my God, no way.
We have all these.
You're looking for drops that you haven't used in a while. How about English, motherfucker?
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
You ask for drops you never play. The Cordell Stewart drops. Any of them or all of them.
Any or all.
Ask Cordell this.
Are you gay?
No.
Are you gay, man?
No.
Are you bisexual?
No. I'm not on the down low.
Is Prince again?
Best interviewer.
That's what we want.
No, I'm not.
Hey, I want to hear that drop. I don't know what it's from, but the guy would say,
it's not my job.
I look forward to hearing it.
Not my job.
A drop I have not heard in quite a long time is Grandma Brewery.
But we're not in Olympia. We're further north.
You guys were asking for drop requests that you haven't played in a while. I think my favorite from the 90s has got to be Maris Lysis. They broke Ilion's bed. That's the best.
They broke Ilion's bed.
Drop your quest. Homer Simpson, anything. Chew alcohol.
The cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
I feel the same way.
For drops that you don't play often that we want to hear. And I've always liked the profane preacher guy. Stupid bitch. That guy.
You goddamn devil worshiper, you ain't got no excuse. Biatch.
I got a drop for you that I haven't heard in a while. The House of Farts.
Wrong.
The Chamber of Farts.
Drops that need to be played more are the Arnold Schwarzenegger drops.
Yeah. First, I would like to just get to know you.
Please, more Arnold drops.
Yes.
Yeah, true. That's for old drops. She's a cool chick with a hot ass.
She's a cool chick yes. with a hot ass.
Check your misogyny.
Hey, how come you guys never played Anal About You, Sweetheart? I'd love to hear that drop again.
Anal About You, Sweetheart.
One drop that I never hear anymore is the Trump drop where he's like, whoa, let's stop talking with this guy.
You're asking for drops you don't play that much anymore? You're Doing Awesome drop is one of my favorites. Please start playing it more often.
You're doing awesome!
I wanted to hear the drop from the old show, Turn Around and Play the Backman.
Turn around and play the Backman.
I can't remember why they were in such heavy rotation, but I miss all the Ted Patchell.
I think I got the help I needed, so I think I would like to say D, Blue Moon.
I'm kind of sorry you took sour grapes about this.
How do you not play full Mace Spray after talking about rioting?
I cannot believe that I was just hit in the face with a full Mace Spray.
Hey, a few weeks ago, you guys were playing a 45-year-old virgin phone call from years ago. You guys kept playing the drop for Kenny Youngin. Do you want to do it? Where's that drop at?
Do you want to do it now?
One of my favorite drops you guys used to play all the time, and I haven't heard lately, is Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband, the prince.
This man is lying his head off.
You are a rude man. You are lying. Don't lie to your listeners.
It's not necessarily an old drop request, but what about the Two Bar tapes? I know those are a big hit back in the day.
Hello?
Hello? Is this the Two Bar in Jersey City?
Yeah.
Is Stanley Payne there, you know?
Sally Schreiber? Sally who?
Stanley Payne.
Hello? Let's see your fucking bum. You're kicking me, you motherfucker.
I'll come down and kick your fucking mouth open.
Listen, why don't you go out and fuck your mother?
I'll fuck your mother, you stupid son of a
bitch. Why don't you come down here and have a little Nazi and come down and tell me that?
I'll come down
face to face. I'll give you $100 to buy it.
$100? You won't even get no $100.
Okay, you're looking for old drop requests. I think you played a couple Teletubbies drops.
Uh-oh!
Back in the heyday, so if you got some of those, that would be tits.
Time for Tubby Bye Bye. Yes. Time for Tubby Bye Bye. Time.
Goodbye!
See ya.
Okay, bye.
Bye bye, son of a bitch.
Goodbye.
Oh my God. That's it. I feel like all calls should end with time for Tubby Bye Bye or okay, bye. Just make it a regular thing. We used to have, was it Barton? What's her name, Barton?
Okay, bye.
Misha
Barton.
Barton.
Yeah. What'd she say?
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
I mean, we could actually, Brandon could probably put them all together. Quick little 10-second bye. Okay, bye.
Well, as a matter of fact, I think Dan Evans sent one in just today. That's kind of weird you say that.
Oh.
I'll show you.
Okay.
I was trying to look. Never mind. Do you want to try Gilbert?
Yes, we should call Gilbert Gottfried. He's on a Zoom call and a woman's nude.
I do have his number. I don't know if it's still a good number, but at one time it was good.
I just didn't delay Jimmy Kimmel, too, because of the subject matter. Honestly, I'm serious. I don't really want to talk about him anymore. It's an interesting story. I thought the apology was worse than the crime.
Yeah.
This is the one that Dan sent in today, which is quite...
You need to leave!
Okay, thanks, guys. Bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I have to go home. I have to go home.
Go home to mommy.
I'm just saying. Take care.
Have a great day.
The worst part, truly, is that I made some real friends here. I'm not sure if I'm ever going to see them again.
You stupid idiot. Get the fuck out of here.
Don't call here again, asshole.
Get the fuck out now before I get 2 minutes to turn back.
Later, fart face.
Bye-bye, son of a bitch.
Take care, star.
Tough. To say goodbye.
All right, we'll take care now.
Bye.
Bye, Grandma.
Take care. Have a good day.
See you, Trudy. See you, Mark. See you, Drew. I'll talk to you, buddy.
Bye, Brandon.
Keep it stiff, bro.
Okay, bye.
I love tough to say goodbye to Greg.
Yeah.
We were talking about Greg, and I was like, it's tough to say goodbye to Greg, and I was afraid we didn't have it.
We have it.
We do.
To say goodbye to Greg.
And the Vermeil spiel. I mean, in general, when he's bawling.
Do we have that long one?
No, we don't.
That's got to be available.
We're looking for that one.
Also, playoffs.
Yeah, we have that one. Jim Mora.
I think the one I loved every drop people brought up.
Yeah.
We have so many drops.
Playoffs? Don't talk about
Playoffs?
At least we have all those ones.
Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game. Another game.
I have to admit, ooh, that's a dance mix version.
That is, yeah.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs?
I still am very fond of these drops.
You miss me? You love me?
I don't know why. It just crack me up.
Wait, is that Gina?
No, that's Anna Nicole.
Oh, that's right.
Come on.
Oh, what about,
are you doing okay?
Loving you more than all the fishies in the sea?
Hey, Punker Poo.
Yeah.
Pumpkin.
Yeah.
Daniel.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
You miss me?
Uh-huh.
You want to kiss me?
Yeah.
You love me?
Mm.
More than all the raindrops in the water and all the fishies in the sea?
Yeah, fishy.
Yeah.
Oh, I love you too that much also. I just got back from the guest party.
He does not care.
Yeah. Are you doing okay?
Yeah.
Did you order you something to eat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi,
what'd
mommy.
You eat?
So Pick uninterested.
Snop. Pick snop.
No. Pizza.
Yeah, that's what he ate, Anna.
Oh, pizza. Okay.
Hey,
I love you.
Let me talk to him right quick.
Okay, hold on. I don't want you. Love you.
Not to make this.
Says love you. If you need anything, call me.
Right. Okay. You're gonna be the first one he calls. Rest in peace, both of you.
I think we need a separate drop for. I love you too that much. Also, wait. I love you too. What'd she say?
I love you too that much also.
I love you too that much also. That is so, that's just strangely.
I love you too that much also.
That's an odd way to say I love you too.
That much also. So is this one.
Love you.
I really miss Time for Tubby Bye Bye.
Okay.
I mean, that's a great drop. And wasn't there, okay, what are their Tubby?
Again, again.
Oh, again, again, yes. Yeah, again, again is a. I love that drop. These are all favorites of Mike Clark too.
Mm-hmm. Love that show.
We actually had a ton of people asking about this one.
Oh, I'm tripping myself.
Yeah, we're talking about Bruce Lee. We played it though, didn't we?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh man. Oh, the drops. The drop. I mean, take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back. That reminds me, I was actually thinking about Mike Clark in the current environment.
Yeah.
And what he would be losing his shit.
I don't know if he'd be able to handle it.
I don't know if he would either.
I don't know what would have freaked him out more. Coronavirus or just the, well, he wouldn't like all the protesting and coverage of it.
No, he wouldn't. And
he would have been flipped out about coronavirus.
Yeah, I think he would have. That would be right up his alley. You know what's weird, though, is... Like, Trump is a germaphobe.
Yeah.
So why is he so, like, no big deal? It's nothing.
He's a germaphobe? I never knew.
Yes.
That.
Major germaphobe.
Yeah, he doesn't like shaking hands, doesn't like hugging.
A big one.
Don't you think it just boils down to the fact that he doesn't want to wear a mask?
Possibly, but I just would think a germaphobe would not, I mean, that would overrule everything else. But, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
So, Gilbert is doing a... Zoom bar mitzvah?
Mitzvah? His daughter, yeah, was bat mitzvahed.
I can't believe his kids are so young.
How old is Gilbert?
Gilbert's 62, I think.
Okay.
He's got a 13-year-old.
Yeah, wow. Well, she's younger, too. Dana isn't his wife.
Yeah. Gilbert is she's actually 65.
Is he 65?
Are you prepared
By the way, do you guys listen to his podcast at all?
No, I had not.
65?
Not in a long time, no.
Did you like it when you listened to it?
It's okay, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I find him funny. I just think he's a smart guy, and he doesn't care about anything. He'll say whatever he wants to say, and you don't like it too bad, because he's his own boss.
Yeah, I liked his podcast. It's just really strange when you put someone who is always on the other end, on the front end, mm-hmm. the host.
Mm-hmm.
It sometimes sounds very strange, and once he starts mixing it up with somebody, it's... fairly normal, but his choice of guests, I guess I don't expect some of the guests he has on. Although he usually makes it, you know, puts a stamp on it.
Hmm.
But, you know, Carl from Who These Podcasts, I was listening to Who These Podcasts, he was talking about the linguists.
Yeah, that we were talking about.
Yeah, Vocal Fry, as we talked about yesterday.
Pretty good. Very funny.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, I wonder if we could get Carl to actually talk about not just the horrible podcasts, because that's, I mean, it's endlessly fun to tear up shitty podcasts, or at least, you know, examine them and find out they're shitty. But maybe some podcasts, is it possible that he likes a few podcasts? Maybe recommend, because there are, well, there's so many out there.
He gave your podcast quite the plug in the last episode. One.
Oh, he did?
Oh, I didn't get that far.
Oh.
Whoa.
It was pretty much right after they stopped their Vocal Fries segment as they were transitioning into some other stuff. And
cool.
Oh, that's very nice.
Thank you, Carl.
What a fine gentleman.
Isn't he the ultimate gentleman, even though he's trying to say shit out of everyone?
He's just trying to make them better.
Carl, good to see you.
I just checked into Stuttering John's podcast.
Great. What's he bragging about now?
The usual stuff. But
good luck with the podcast.
I swear to God, he somehow manages to tell all his guests what he's done.
Yeah.
He's on the show for 10 years. 15 years now, it's turn show.
Serious prank phone call to the president.
It's so weird.
It's really...
Brandon, is he on Cameo still?
Yeah, I think so. In fact, let me take a look.
Chance for you to push your favorite product.
Well, what are you talking about?
Yeah, well, do you think he has a fair price?
That's what I'm going to look for right now.
Brandon, you should start, honestly.
I can tell you who does have a fair price. Susie Essman. I don't know if you've checked her out on Cameo, some pretty good bangers.
Larry David Show. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Brandon, you should start a website where you review the cameos. And
that should be a niche podcast, latest one.
Oh,
that could be
a podcast.
Yeah, do they have good value? Do they do a good job?
Hey, I got breaking news here. Adam Goldberg, he's an actor that you've seen multiple times.
I know Adam Goldberg,
he was in Saving Ryan's Privates. He was in Friends.
Yeah.
And he's only $40. That's pretty incredible.
Fantastic.
Look out for Jarrett Stoll. Yes, this is the husband of Aaron Andrews and a former Stanley Cup champion.
Likes
he's
his
a
cocaine,
hockey player.
Right?
And he can be your cameo for
$150.
Along with Brooks Robinson, a very good baseball player. That's $200 for him.
Wait, this reminds me, Aubrey Huff was trending on Twitter again.
Yeah, did you read the fight that he had with
Aubrey
Robert
First
Bauer?
Huff.
He's such... Oh, I'm sorry. Why do I keep doing that?
I don't know.
He is just the biggest... What is wrong with him?
Well, if you listen to a new... It wasn't on the Facebook Live, but a new ML Sula Detroit podcast, you get to find out about... He got really mad at Sean Windsor's column about him.
Aubrey First Huff?
Yeah, and he got mad that you didn't at me on Twitter. If you're going to talk shit, at least tag me on Twitter so I can rip you back. Sean addressed.
Wait, what was the story about?
Sean thought his tweet, the video about not wearing masks, was just stupid. And so Sean wrote a column about it and then tweeted it out. And
you mean for the sports section?
Yeah, but Sean writes about everything. He's a columnist, not a reporter. He can write whatever he wants to talk about.
Yeah.
And so... Aubrey and his acolytes were not fond of that and really went after Sean on Twitter.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Because Sean probably didn't bite.
No, Sean doesn't care.
Well, no, he certainly doesn't care. But
it's hard not to respond to somebody, though. When somebody just lights you up and they're wrong, I'm not saying Aubrey's wrong, or I don't even know the context. I haven't even seen the article. But I'm guessing that Aubrey Huff is probably at least 80% in the wrong.
Well, he just thinks anybody that wears a mask is stupid.
Well, that isn't what he was even talking about. He's trending on Twitter because he got in some shitstorm with another Major League Baseball, a current major leaguer.
Who's Trevor Bauer.
Trevor Bauer. And I really don't know that much about Trevor Bauer.
Who's I had him on my fantasy team a couple of years ago. He had a breakout season in, I want to say, 2018, but he hasn't gotten back to that form yet. So
he's
we'll see where I draft him this upcoming
year. If Brandon didn't play fantasy, he would know nothing about any player.
Other than
instead, he knows everything about every player because he, I don't know, how many hours a day do you spend on fantasy in baseball season, Brandon?
Fantasy baseball, it's a grind. It is, you know.
It's a grind.
Yeah, those
you
guys
must be
that
exhausted
play
by September.
Games. Well, shit. I got multiple guys on multiple teams that I got to be looking out for. I got to make sure they're benched. I got to make sure that they're carrying some of my categories.
Are you testing all your players for COVID?
I hope you've got
crazy fantasy season because we don't know. It's shortened. I mean, we're essentially looking at, you know, a 12-week season instead of 24. It's crazy.
Man, I hope you've got a deep coaching staff because it does get exhausting, especially in the season.
Yeah, I don't know.
Does Marcus help you?
I've got to pick a good fantasy team.
Well, Marcus has already been doing... He's been doing fantasy football mock drafts for about 2 or 3 months now, so he's going to be prepared.
Well, the Hall Financial Hotline is where we call people like Gilbert Gottfried. Gilbert
Gottfried, is that really your voice, Gilbert Gottfried? Do you really talk like that?
Is it okay to play another Matt? Are you...
I have never heard the Gilbert Gottfried song.
The way you really
like I said,
sound all the time.
I'm stunned at all the things he has songs about.
Gilbert
and I know he's the most Gottfried, prolific songwriter.
Do you really talk that way? Or is it just a way to make your jokes even funnier? Gilbert Gottfried, you're such a funny, 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 funny guy. Yeah, 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 yeah. Gilbert Gottfried, you used to be a doc on commercials. And then he told a joke too soon, and they said, we don't want you to be our doc anymore.
Aflac.
You tell jokes a little bit too soon, sometimes you get in big trouble. But you know what somebody says? Somebody says sometimes you gotta cross the line just to know it's there.
You can smell my fart.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Gilbert Gottfried, you're such a funny, funny guy. Gilbert Gottfried, you tell funny, funny jokes.
Who's that?
It's Drew. I was calling for Gilbert.
Oh, what is this regarding?
Who is we knew about the bat mitzvah. I'm calling from the Drew and Mike show, and we heard about the Zoom and the woman that accidentally got, she was naked, I guess, in the Zoom call.
Yeah.
And we were hoping we could just spend a minute with him, because I didn't see it or anything. I just read about it. We've had him on our show in Detroit many times, the Drew and Mike show. I'm sure he'll remember his many appearances.
He had a blast.
He did. He had a great time. He said it was his favorite interview ever.
He's not here right now. He's out.
I guess we better get a cell phone from you so we call him then.
Is there a way that I could get your number? And
sure.
Call you?
Absolutely. I'm going to just let Mark handle it. Is this Mrs. G?
Is this
Mrs. G?
Yeah.
Hi. I saw the documentary on Gilbert, and you were all over that.
That's really good.
Oh, well, thank you.
And we were just talking about Gilbert seems to have a far younger wife.
Yeah.
Attractive lady.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
No?
What's
no?
that?
No. Oh, I just was commenting on, we were talking about that Gilbert has a, well, the fact that his daughter's 13, your daughter, he's an older guy, but we were discussing the fact that he has a much younger and very attractive wife.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Were your ears burning?
Hardly.
Okay.
Well, let me have him call you back.
All right. Okay. Mark's going to grab it. Sorry.
Sorry. Jeez.
Just trying to get in with Mrs. G somehow.
She is a looker. Dana Kravitz. I think she's related to Lenny Kravitz.
I'm just forever amazed.
I don't think that's true.
What? What's true?
I don't think she's related to Lenny Kravitz. I don't think so.
Really? You sure?
But yeah, 15 years younger than him. She's very pretty. And
I'm just sometimes, I just am never, there's no end to how shocked I am when I see some of the really attractive young people, ladies in particular, and some of the people in entertainment that they get married to. But Gilbert's really cool. I mean, he's not the hottest comedian out there, but that's not what she was looking for.
Well,
I don't know what the fuck she was looking for. Well, Mark is doing his interview with Mrs. G. I will mention that there's some cancellations going on. Boy, it's like school closings back in the day. Every flipping day. Mel Gibson, who never gets canceled. And I don't know if he can get canceled. What would Mel Gibson have to do to get canceled?
Didn't he kind of get canceled for a nice chunk of the aughts?
He did, but it didn't last that long. Next thing you know, he made a movie that did well. Was it? What was the movie he came back with?
And was it The Passion of the Christ? Was that?
I was going to say that. That's what I was going to say. And
maybe that's why he didn't get canceled, because he's very religious.
Nah, I don't think so. Because
sugar
he's
tits.
Offended. Sugar tits. That was.
Hey,
I've never heard that before.
Going back. didn't Aubrey Huff or Trevor Bauer in there? Yeah, one of them used sugar tits in their Twitter.
It was Aubrey.
Okay, let me explain, Mel. And I want to. Can you explain the Aubrey Huff thing? Because I honestly didn't really know quite how it started. I know how it ended. But first, Mel Gibson, Winona Ryder.
Oh, boy.
And I don't care who we're talking about. I'm on Team Winona every time. She
that
said,
klepto?
She was talking to Mel, and her gay friend was with her. And I don't even know how this happens, but she said that Mel said something like, "Oh, wait, am I going to get AIDS?" Because her gay friend
said
was
nothing.
I'm like, what?
What?
And then something about being Jewish came up, and I guess he said she looked too Jewish to be in the movie he was talking about. And
well, do you have his, the other quote? About
yeah. Woman.
He said, "You're not an oven dodger, are you?"
Jesus Christ, man.
I've never even heard that before.
That's a Gibson original.
What the? What the? You know, is he trying to be? Does he think that's funny?
Oh, I think he does think it's funny because he read the room pretty quick. It sounded like and apologized.
Oh, is that so? Well, okay. So does that make it better that he's trying to be funny? Because I think he says hurt. It's hard to talk with Mel around.
Sorry.
It's okay. No, I like it. He said enough serious. I mean, we've heard him lambaste his wife and talk about wanting the mother of his child to be raped.
And I don't want
to. That's pretty strong.
I don't want to be on. In the position of defending him. But what was how was his party? Was it loose? Was he having a good time? Was everybody joking about everything? Or, you know, did he bring it to a screeching halt? What's the context of the?
I suspect
Mel's zingers.
He thought he was being funny, and he's. You know, I just doesn't sound like he's very funny, really. So, does anything come of this, or is this just another?
He already lost a job.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, he lost a job that he was an animated job. He had the lead role for, I believe, it was Chicken Run Part 2 or some shit like that.
Which is pretty easy to replace somebody if it's just a voiceover.
Yeah.
Chicken. But it's a sequel, right?
He makes his own movies.
Yeah, but remember, so, Louis C.K. got yoinked off of Secret Life of Pets, and then Secret Life of Pets 2, I think, was Patton Oswalt. So.
Well, doesn't Mel finance his own movies sometimes?
Yeah.
See, that's how I think he skated around it. And there's not much you can do to stop that, except if nobody goes.
Shouldn't he make a movie called Sugar Tits? I don't know what it would be about.
Or how about a porn flick?
Yeah.
Anyway, what an abomination. I mean, that's somebody who, honestly, if we're going to cancel someone, isn't that the kind of person that, so
makes
against
money for
this.
People, so.
And also, I just think it's really strange that, and I love Winona Ryder, so I'm not going to complain about her, but when people just suddenly tweet something out about something someone said to them was really rude 5 years ago or 10 years ago, it's just, I don't know, I just don't like this. Ron Jeremy, charged with sexual assault and rape.
Guys, hold on a second,
What?
Huh?
Ron Jeremy's, he's been on our show before. I can't talk. You guys go ahead. I can't
Are you the fighter or the kid here?
Is he canceled from our show?
I can't even talk about it.
Is that the kid or the
I think
the
it
fighter?
Was the kid or the fighter. Yeah, one of them was too choked up.
You guys go ahead.
I have to say that I don't know anything about this.
He's a friend, but I don't know anything about this.
I feel like I kind of know Ron Jeremy because we spent some time with him. He came in, of course, to be the best man of the couple that got married on Valentine's Day, presided by John Bobbitt.
Yeah, a man of the cloth. John
Absolutely Bobbitt. A man of the cloth.
And this guy's wiener is, huge, cut. Right?
So I was just kind of laughing about that whole stupid, crazy day, which was funny as hell.
Yeah.
And Mark said something about getting this couple. That guy's got to talk to his best man, straighten him out.
Yeah, they made comment. I mean, how embarrassing when your best man does something like that.
Then,
three counts of rape.
Mr. Skin was having his annual party a couple years ago, and I'm popping around in there, and it's kind of wild. They're showing on the screens the top 150 Mr. Skin scenes that he's selected.
Wait, do you remember the picture, Mark, when we went on the website? And there was a picture of the party, and there's a million people in the crowd.
Yeah.
And it kind of looks like a club scene. Right in the middle, there's Drew, and he's got his hat on. You're right in the middle. You're the only one with a hat on in the entire party. And we were able to find you in that
Mr.
photo.
Skin
I gotta
party.
Find that.
Well, Ron Jeremy was there, and he was kind of doddering, which is strange, because he's not... How old is Ron Jeremy? 64. Okay, so that was a couple years ago, so he'd have been, I don't know...
He's got a hog.
61?
He's got to carry that hog around everywhere he goes.
That's true.
Would you ever have thought that Gilbert Gottfried was older than Ron Jeremy? I didn't.
No.
No.
And Ron, I'd forgotten this. He's very short.
Yeah?
Height-wise. Very short. And he just looked like he'd aged so much since when we saw him. Oh, we saw him at the Magic Bag, too, when he had a stand-up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he's the worst huckster. The worst. He will always plug seven things before you ever get to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
That makes him the best. The best huckster.
Yeah, I go, okay, the best huckster. But these stories were just mounting and mounting, and I think the defense is that, hey, he's a porn star, of course he's going to grab your tit. Hey, he's a porn star, of course he's going to slip it in when he's just supposed to, you know.
Well, grabbing it, not that it's excusable.
Well, there were complaints that he grabbed boobs at
grabbing
events.
Grabbing a tit is very different from what he's being charged with.
Oh, yeah. No, he's being charged with rape.
Multiple times. 25-year-old woman claimed that he raped her at her home in 2014.
So this is not even part of porn?
No. Prosecutors say Ron allegedly sexually assaulted two women on separate occasions at a bar in 2017. And at that same bar in 2019, a 30-year-old woman claims that he forcibly raped her at that bar as well.
How does he do this at a bar? I mean, I'm not questioning the stories. I'm just like, first of all, like the 25-year-old woman, what is he doing with her in her apartment? What's going on? I mean, I wonder what the occasion was.
When you hear, well, maybe she's in the industry. Maybe.
Yeah, I think a couple of them were in the industry. The thing about Ron Jeremy is, okay, I swear at the Mr. Skin Bash, he looked so old and he looked very doddering. Yeah. And I just can't picture him overpowering. I mean, he's bigger than, of course, all women, but I guess he could overpower someone. I mean, anything's possible. I'm not saying it didn't happen or he couldn't do it, but it just, I don't know, it just is a weird fit. Even though he's a porn star, I still was surprised by it. And I'm not saying it didn't happen. And there's another story like this today, too, about the director. Is he a director or producer?
I don't know.
Hollywood guy. Last night, it was trending, and this guy is, I think, 52 years old. You might know the name.
Are you talking about a rape?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Let me see. I'll find it.
Hey, another drop we need is, I can't find it, but I got a feeling there's something wrong. I was looking for it.
I sent that to Brandon, like.
I thought we had
I've sent it a couple times.
Changes are wonderful. Just waiting to get out.
Why do you have it, and I don't?
I don't know.
What's up with that?
You need to catch up.
Did you just add it, Brandon, or was it always there?
I know. I added it when you sent it to me because I get right on things when the boss sends me an email.
Let's see. What is this guy's name? Did you hear about the guy?
Play it again.
I got home and those jeans are so wonderful. Just waiting to get out.
Brandon, did you hear about a director who was being investigated, actually charged? No, he had big bail. Director, producer, he's like a management guy. And I, you know, honestly, I don't think people will even know who he is.
Is it Roman Polanski?
No. No, he's not. Damn it.
No, because, I mean, I heard of a producer.
Am I dreaming this?
Because the producer that was married to...
Yeah, Binger, Steve Bing.
Yeah, Elizabeth Hurley jumped off a building and killed himself in the midst of depression from quarantine.
Yeah, he was depressed because he was by himself. Couldn't he go outside or something?
Well, that's very ironic. Now, I'm certain that he's obviously in a depressive state that is beyond anything...
It's got to be more than just that.
Any of us can imagine.
he was probably more depressed that he can't bang that chick anymore because Elizabeth Hurley looks great.
Well, and she's putting a hot picture of herself out every day, practically. Okay.
David Guillod, G-U-I-L-L-O-D, surrendered to authorities in Santa Barbara on Monday after a three-year investigation culminated in being charged with rape or sexual assault of four women.
Oh, he produced Atomic Blonde?
Yes. Extraction. And I think there's a couple more.
Is this where he's a real producer or he just had money?
I didn't even know that existed.
Jessica Barth, a leading voice in the Me Too movement, accused him of drugging and sexually assaulting her 5 years before. These sounded like, and two of these rapes where he knocked people out with GHB, which I think that happens a lot more than we probably would ever want to know. Two of these rapes were different women in a 48-hour period.
What?
Yeah.
Here's his bio, according to his own website.
Okay.
He's one of the industry's best and brightest talent management leaders.
Fuck you.
Growing talent in film, television, and literature. Gilead's tireless efforts have helped create household names like Katie Holmes, Jennifer Lopez,
Wait, Justin get out! He did not make...
Don Cheadle, Rachel McAdams, and more.
Oh, he made them all household names, did he?
Made them all household
names. Wow. So all those
nothing
really,
without him.
All those really big movies they were in did not make them household names, but...
Well,
what
or
movie
Northern
are we
talent.
Talking about? What's his...
He's a talent. He was an agent. He was a talent
I'd never
agent.
Heard of him. I'd never heard of him. So he represented all those people?
Yeah. Yep. He's one of the industry's brightest and best talent management leaders, according to his own website.
Well, so is Steve Bing, who jumped out of a 27th floor condo. Sounded like an incredible condo, too.
Yeah.
Jumped out of a 27th story condo, out of the 27th floor, rather, of an even larger condo,
sad.
To his death yesterday. Yeah. He was married to Elizabeth Hurley.
Was he married?
Oh.
I think he just knocked her up because he denied it for a
long
time.
They were together.
Her son, by the way, very pretty man.
I know. I know where you're coming from. Steve Bing impregnated two people in the same year.
That's right.
He denied paternity in both cases, and it's kind of a good deal for Stephen Bing because he was given
dodged a bullet there.
He was given $600 million when he turned 18.
Yeah. Well, he dropped. I love that story. He dropped out of college.
The minute he got the cash, he's like, I'm out of here. He was at Stanford and started throwing his money around, basically getting his name attached to films that he really, I don't think he did a lot.
No,
I guess he wrote a couple movies. I don't remember the names of them.
Wait. I think I read this today. He wrote Kangaroo Jack.
That's it.
One of the worst fucking movies in cinematic history.
Who
else did he knock up at the same time as
Lisa Bonder, a professional tennis player who's pretty cute.
I mean, he's probably got 1,000 kids. All the raw dog loads he drops.
Okay, this guy, by the way, who's ugly. I mean, he's just a goofy,
wallet's hot,
dorky looking guy. Yeah, but look at the chicks he lands. Elizabeth Hurley. Is with him for a couple years. He gets her pregnant when they're kind of on the outs. And she says, yes, it's you. You're the only one. He said, nope, not me. And take me to court. And, of course, when you have $600 million, you can forestall a DNA test for a long, long time. At the same time she was impregnated, he impregnated Lisa Bonder, who was married to Kirk Kerkorian at the time.
Wow.
Married his girlfriend. I think she was married to him. So
yeah, she was.
Kirk Kerkorian said, it's not my kid. And Kirk Kerkorian, because he was going to, and they're splitting up, Kirk Kerkorian was going to have to pay her so much money for this child, because Kirk Kerkorian, of course, is so wealthy, and you know how those monthly payments, there could be $100,000 a month or something crazy like that. So he was bound and determined, I am not fucking paying child support for this cheating Lisa Bonder.
Wow.
So Kirk Kerkorian has his investigators checking into Steve Bing, her previous boyfriend. And what do you know? They get in his garbage and they find some used dental floss. And they get it DNA tested and it's a match!
Wow.
It's a match! So
I got a dental dam in the upper part of my truck. You can just grab that.
Eventually, it was a little, I think it was a little before this or maybe a little after this, Elizabeth Hurley was able to force him to take a DNA test, which revealed he was the father of Damien, who he has never met. Damien is 18 years old. I'm not sure he's met Lisa Bonder's child by Stephen Bing either.
What an asshole.
You are the father.
No, that's... That's why I read that story about him being so lonely. And I was like, oh, please. You know, if he's really depressed, obviously I sympathize with anybody who suffers from that kind of depression. That sounds really grim. But Jesus, you know, all these laudits for him. Oh, Bill Clinton. Steve Bang was a wonderful man. He was a great friend.
It was just Father's Day.
Yeah. Well, he did.
I'm serious. Well, maybe that affected him.
Oh.
Oh, my God. I'm such a shitty father.
Well, yeah, that's... Well, that's interesting. I didn't even think about that. That would make more sense than anything
great
else.
Sleuth. Ha,
that's my dad.
Happy Father's Day.
Now, when you mentioned Krikorian and doing something like that, is that who was the private eye that Krikorian hired?
They got in a lot of trouble. To prison about Pelicano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did Pelicano do that? Was that his
case? Yes, it was a Pelicano.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's a Pelicano. Is that how Pelicano ends? He goes, that's a Pelicano. Case closed.
Mario.
That's a Pelicano.
Anthony Pelicano. Pelicano.
What a creep.
If you do your Pelicano homework, you'll find that Pelicano was paid a lot of money by Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And he dug up a lot of dirt. And this is how our justice system works. If you got money, man, what you can do with a lot of money. He dug up so much dirt on all the Michael Jackson alleged pedophile victims and their families, their mothers, their fathers.
Allegedly!
That he was able to make it very, very, very difficult to ever get to court because upon, you know, discussing settlements, and I don't know how many settlements there are. I remember LaToya saying, he's writing checks all the time for these little boys.
Writing checks all the time.
But yeah.
When you pay someone $23 million.
Check, but there it is, because I always have it, because I always have my checkbook, because I'm always writing checks.
Pay somebody $23 million to keep a child molestation case out of court. I would think you'd stay away from the kids. You really would. But he's cheated out of his childhood. I forgot about that.
He's always got his checkbook, too.
Yeah.
It's just a business transaction for Jackson.
They're basically child prostitutes.
His problem was he should have paid him ahead of time.
Oh, God. Yeah, Anthony Pelicano. Wow, there's some really wild stuff.
If you saw your room, you would cry.
That's a book I ought to read.
Pelicano's book?
Yeah. So, I'm putting off Jimmy Kimmel.
No!
Because I think this story's more fun.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't ever want to talk about it. Kimmel.
No, I do want to talk about it.
Chris D'Elia got dropped from his agency, so you are right. He's done.
He did?
Yeah.
How hard is the fighter and the kid crying?
I don't know. I haven't checked in on him. Oh, you think they've talked to him yet?
Yeah, that guy's an MMA fighter, so we should probably stop making fun of him and beat her ass.
Did you see the Chad Daybell
story? He had an eyelid lift.
Chad Daybell, did you see that story today?
I heard that they didn't know how his wife died yet. No, that's all I heard about him.
But when they first went to interview him, he pretended he didn't even know who she was. That's a pretty good move. Wait,
he didn't know who she was?
Cult dad Chad Daybell.
Oh, Lori Vallow?
Pretending he didn't know who Lori Vallow was.
His wife?
When police first began searching for the missing children just 3 weeks after he married her. That's he married her 3 weeks ago.
Never heard of a man.
So they unsealed a bunch of documents, and they're talking about what happened to these kids. A probable cause affidavit filed in connection with Chad's subsequent arrest for two felony counts of destruction of evidence alleges that Lori's brother, Alan Cox, as everyone suspected, brought the bodies to the property to bury them. A ping from his cell phone showed him at the burial site where Tylee's remains were found on September 9th and the day after she was last seen. Two pings on September 23rd, the day JJ vanished, showed Cox was at the site where the boys' remains were found. Just a
son of a gun!
Away. It's crazy.
Son of a... What a coincidence.
The investigator described a welfare check in an affidavit filed February 18th, 2 days before Lori was arrested. The officers arrived and found Chad and Cox outside Lori's apartment. He wrote that Chad acted like, quote, he didn't even know Lori very well and stated, I don't even know her phone number. Then investigators obviously realized that was a lie.
When they came across the photos
of their wedding.
Oh, my God.
Now, you might want to...
It's incredible.
You might wonder, why did they kill these kids?
Well, they thought they were zombies.
They thought they were zombies. And she.
That's what they say. I personally, my opinion, two sociopaths found each other.
Yeah.
I mean, they can say this and that and this and that. It might make for an exciting defense, but I think it takes a little more than a cult-like belief in something to kill your 7-year-old and your 17-year-old. A little more. And your husband and his wife.
A friend of hers, Melanie Gibb, recounted a phone call with Lori last spring where she referred to Tylee as a zombie because the teen was refusing to babysit JJ. That's quite a leap, right?
That the 17-year-old took care of that kid all the time. She, Lori Vallow, I've read quite a bit about her. I could probably read more about that story when eventually the books come flying out.
Yeah.
But she was one of these moms who posted everything on social media. Everything. Look at me with my special needs child. Look at all I do for. I mean, that's in my opinion what she's saying.
Wait, which one were they? I didn't know one was special needs.
The 7-year-old was special needs.
Oh man! Yeah.
And so she was cut. And people said she was like a super mom. She was always with those kids. And other people said,
not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom.
Other people said, well, yeah. There's a lot of sort of congratulating herself on what a wonderful mom she is because she did this and she did that. And, you know, there's pictures of everything on Facebook. And then about, I think it's around the time she met Chad Daybell, people said that she just seemed to lose interest in the kids. And she was really, this had been going
on for. Well, he's such a hunk. Huh? I mean, how could she ever focus on
him? He's a stud. About 2 years before this.
I don't have time for this.
Friends of hers said that she was really tired of the special needs thing. At first, man. It was a real big, I hate to use the term, but a virtue signaling thing. Like, look at me raising my special needs boy. And then she got weary of it. Like, oh my God, it's so much work. It's really a pain in the fucking ass. And that's when the sister who's 15, 16, she starts really spending a lot of time with the 7-year-old because she's sort of responsible for him. And then all of a sudden she meets Chad Daybell, and then they're not only has she kind of lost interest in him, but they're zombies and they must go.
Yeah, she thought JJ was a zombie because he climbed up on the cabin tree and knocked over a picture of Jesus off the fridge.
Yeah, right. Oh, that reminds me. Speaking of Jesus, did you guys see the tweet from the guy who is, I guess he's a big deal in the whole, you know, in the whole PC world? Who said that?
Oh, Jesus.
Stained glass white Jesuses and white Jesus statues must come down because. What's that? Sean King. Who is Sean King? I have no idea who he is.
Former quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's not the same guy. Okay.
We've heard of Sean King before in the past just because he's not really the greatest provocateur of these type of things, but he is always constantly tossing out, you know, injustices, and it's just one of these things where it's crazy because he's very white. In fact, there's this huge conspiracy that he was born a white person. They get all his pictures when he was a kid and he's completely white. And he's like, no, my dad was, you know, but he's never, whatever.
Wait, is he not white?
So everybody has always attacked Sean King. That's where I've seen him over the years, is just because whenever he brings something up, everybody's always like, ah, shut up, you're white. And it's come out to say basically cancel Jesus.
Well, now, you know, when I saw that tweet, because it was trending and, you know, of course, LaVille had a lot to say about it. He's really saying that we need to pull down any statues of white Jesus, any stained glass windows, churches, they got to go. And I'm picturing, oh, wait, are people going to be knocking out stained glass church windows? Are people going to be pulling on Jesus statues? Because that's not going to go over so well, I don't think.
You goddamn devil worshiper, you ain't got no excuse.
And I had to dig through the comments, but I found that there are people agreeing with him.
Well, whatever.
Now, he's Sean King. He's the guy who does this. So people that follow him, I would assume, probably agree with someone who thinks like that. But
I mean, Jesus wasn't white.
that's what I get. You know, he
wasn't. True. He wasn't white. He was Arabic,
Middle Eastern. Yeah. So,
well,
but I don't want statues and all the art and architecture to come down because of it.
I don't think taking out stained glass windows from every church that has a white Jesus. I don't really think about. I don't. Jesus is Jesus.
That's your privilege.
No, I don't think of Jesus as white. I just don't think about Jesus that much. If I see Jesus, I see Jesus.
I don't think you think about Jesus enough.
I probably don't.
I come in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Biatch.
WWJD.
Exactly. Okay. I have. I swear to God, if I actually did all the stuff in my list today, because I never got to Jimmy Kimmel. So there's 2 hours of show left because there's all the stuff after Kimmel. I could probably go 2 more hours, but instead I'm going to refresh my coffee and then I'm just going to have a flurry of an ending to this show.
Okay.
Is there any other business to talk about today? Emil Elric's got a new show today with Chief Craig.
He was great. We were supposed to have 10 minutes with him, and Chief gave us 45. He gave us a full Jackson.
Wow.
And I thought he's very 45 honest. Minutes. I asked him, I said, I feel like you're exhausted because he just seemed kind of worn out. And I think quite to the contrary. I think he's kind of energized by everything that's going on. It's well worth listening to. Good thought out answers. I don't know. I like the guy.
I like him. Always liked him. His demeanor. I like the way he speaks. Yeah. He seems fair always to me, which, you know, a lot of people have trouble appearing that way.
He's definitely trying. You know?
But the fact that nothing really bad. I mean, there were protests every night for 3 weeks. And yeah, there were a few incidents with police who, you know, there's one guy. I remember the one guy that got shoved to the ground by this one cop, and I think they suspended him and the cop who was watching.
You can hear him talk about what how he reacts to defund the police.
I like to hear that.
And that phrase.
I just thought Detroit was exemplary. It's because people protested. They did their thing. They were passionate, and they got out there, and they meant it. And there wasn't too. I mean, compared to other big cities, Detroit had really worked out great.
And he knows that. And that's he talks great. About that. He talks about the shooting down in Atlanta because he's been on CNN discussing.
Yeah,
the shooting.
I heard him on CNN.
I thought his answers.
He was on Fox News too.
Were intriguing there. the whole bunch of stuff he talked about for 45 minutes. I don't know. I was impressed and I enjoyed the conversation with him.
45 minutes.
For 45 minutes.
Right back. For 45 minutes. About 45 minutes.
Well, I can get rid of a couple things that I just want to scratch off so I don't have to keep.
Well, me too. Hashtag me too. So,
director Joel Schumacher, we were talking about Batman so much yesterday. He did pass away yesterday. He died. And then Corey Feldman comes out and makes it all about him. He immediately talks pretty much about how all the struggles he was going through. I guess
no one cares, Feldman.
Lost Boys. So,
does anybody care what Corey Feldman has to say about that?
I don't think anybody has much to say about anything that Corey Feldman's been tossing out there because he keeps trying and nobody will hook on to that, conspiracy, even though it's kind of out there. We already know all the people who he's named. No one really cares about it. So I kind of feel for him. But he made Joel Schumacher's death all about him. Bill Cosby.
Let's go for it. We got nothing to lose, so baby, let's go for it. Come on, let's go for it.
Bill Cosby, his appeal was accepted.
Did you hear what his shitty spokesperson said about that?
Mm-mm.
As we have all stated, the false conviction of Bill Cosby, which it wasn't a false conviction, is so much bigger than him. It's about the destruction of all black people and people of color in America, which is interesting because what about his victims that were black? Bill Cosby had a lot of victims that were black women. So, you know, it's just them trying to play the whole role of America's dead again. And hey, don't you remember how much you love Bill Cosby? Now he's a victim when he has also attacked the black community. Bill Cosby was always, that's how a lot of this came up again.
Zip, zop, zoom, bop.
Because Cosby was talking about, you got to pull up your pants and you got to do this and do that and do it the way Bill Cosby used to do it.
Well, everybody always looked at him as kind of that father figure
on
television.
He did good things.
He did a good job at it for a while, I thought.
Sure, and he put a lot of stress on education, so that part's good. Meanwhile, he's raping a lot of black women. So,
he even brought Ennis, you know, his son Ennis, who was killed by a random carjacking or something like that, and he brought that into the whole Black Lives Matter.
He traded a story about Ennis with the tabloids to cover up one of his rape allegations. He's a bad dude, man. And now they're gonna re-go over it in the Supreme Court, which doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't guarantee anything.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything yet.
I wonder if he's still blind.
One thing is for sure, one thing that apparently is settled on, David Lee Roth is no longer David Lee Roth.
I didn't understand that story. Is this just him trying to be funny again? Is this Roth just trying to be hilarious and failing again?
Apparently, he changed it to L. Roth.
Because of Lady Antebellum? Is that, is that the joke?
I mean, is it a joke?
Yeah, it's...
I brought my pencil!
It's got to be a joke, which...
I'll tell you all about it!
Go away, Roth.
Yeah.
Did we talk about Novak Djokovic? Was that on the air or was that off the air?
Off the air.
Off the air. Novak Djokovic, who's a huge anti-vaxxer. We learned that about him recently. I don't know if that ties into maybe being a little bit coronavirus denier or doubter, but he threw a tennis tournament, and they didn't play the finals in the tennis tournament because people tested positive for COVID-19, and he is now also tested positive. So I don't know if this is going to change his mind. I wonder if he's going to get vaccinated now for COVID, although he doesn't need to because he's already got it, so he'll probably have the antibodies. But I just thought that was really kind of ironic, to say the least. I
never want
to
celebrate anybody getting it, but
it'll be, come on, he'll be fine.
But yeah, I mean, I'm curious on how the anti-vax movement, if it's growing because of coronavirus or if it's, you know, lessening so because
that,
of coronavirus.
That's interesting. Originally, there was a story that a lot of anti-vaxxers are, you know, kind of moving away from that because of COVID. In other words, yeah, we'll get the COVID vaccine, and they've kind of lessened their, you know, stance on vaccines. However, I was
these adults who were afraid of getting autism?
Well, no, I think they maybe will believe in the science of vaccines a little better.
Why?
However, there was a news story. I got to find it and bring it up. But the anti-vax movement has now moved to a certain demographic that is big fans of a certain president. A lot of really hardcore Trump supporters.
Is Trump an anti-vaxxer?
No. But that's been the movement because they just don't believe in COVID, even though Trump does believe in it. I mean, he said that in as much as in his speech that it exists. You know, he's not a denier, but I'll have to find that Trump, story. It's really intriguing.
I think Trump thinks that he is tapping into something with the no. I don't think he wants to wear a mask anyway.
No.
But I think he thinks I think he thought he was tapping into a winner, and he tapped into a loser.
That's right.
Well, in that Wall Street Journal article, he's saying people are just wearing masks now because they're making it political. He thinks people are wearing masks because,
you know,
he won't. Yeah, and he says, and then they touch it, and they pull, and they're touching their face, so it doesn't do anything anyway.
I don't know what to make of the fact that red states seem to want to open faster, blue states seem to open slower. Do you know, because there's no way this should be political in any way, shape, or form. It is what it is. So Thursday.
Which states are having the big spikes right now? Because the governors I all see are red governors now.
Who are closing down? Or talking about closing down?
No, just that are having the spikes of hospitalizations in their state. Texas, Florida.
But isn't on, generally speaking, aren't red states trying to open sooner?
Oh, yeah, I would think so.
I thought it was a fact. I don't know, I'm not really looking at coronavirus much lately.
Everybody's open now.
But in terms of when they opened, weren't they pushing to open sooner? Or except for California. California was... Gavin Newsom was very aggressive.
They're on a spike now, too.
Yeah.
There was a really interesting theory on that as to why are these spikes now? Is it because people are gathering?
People aren't dying as much, though.
But I heard an interesting theory. Well, no, because we're testing them. We're getting better treatments right away.
Well,
in the hospitals,
some people are claiming the strain is weaker now.
Yes, which is why more people are getting it.
If less people are dying, that's a pretty big deal. Yeah. But
it's really interesting.
Anyway, this story is just so strange to me. It's really not that strange, but it is strange. The Ford Bronco was going to be unveiled.
Yeah.
Revealed. A reveal of the new Ford Bronco. They've been talking about this for a long, long time.
Yeah, looks cool.
And they really, in my opinion, they got really unlucky. And why would you be... I don't know why you'd be thinking about O.J. Simpson's birthday, because I don't think you would. I don't think Ford people designing the new Bronco and deciding whether it'll sell are really thinking about O.J. Simpson that much.
I'm just saying.
And they pick, out of all the days they could have picked, they picked his birthday.
Been used.
They had a 1 in 365 chance of picking his birthday, and they did. I mean, that's I'm assuming that's just the worst luck possibly ever.
No, the worst luck ever is Bubba Watson getting the number four garage. I think that might be the worst luck ever.
Well, anyway.
Or Wallace Watson. Which one is
Wallace.
It? Wallace, sorry. Watson's a golfer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they start getting pressure, you know, about this day. And so they changed it to July 13th. They changed the date.
What'd Juice do on July 13th?
I'm sure they checked.
Come on, what has Juice been doing?
So now, there's some union leaders.
You've been juiced.
Who are insisting that along with the unreveal of the Ford Bronco, they should have an anti-domestic violence campaign. What? Now, yes, because the Bronco is associated with O.J. Simpson. Apparently, most models that people drive, there aren't any domestic abusers in those cars.
Well, you know, that we were talking about that before. Nicole's sister was saying, hey, look, he didn't just murder. He also abused her for years.
Well, he did. He didn't murder. He's found not guilty of murdering her. He's responsible, though.
I know and I accept the fact that people are going to feel whatever way they're going to feel.
Understand, of course, and I think people know this, that I'm just a very cynical person. And when I see anti-domestic violence campaign, I'm thinking, are there pro-domestic violence campaigns? Is domestic violence closing on anti-domestic violence?
Not.
I mean, the whole concept is very strange. Do we need Paris Jackson to come out against domestic violence to signal us to be against it?
I'm sure that's the more information, the better.
So it's not enough to move the date off July 9th, OJ's birthday, to July 13th, because a man, OJ Simpson, committed domestic violence and owned a Ford Bronco. The feeling is that, and this is according to people in the union. They're saying that the launch of the Ford Bronco is triggering memories of domestic violence they either were on the receiving end of or domestic violence they witnessed.
What?
They're being triggered by the reveal of the Bronco. Wait, and they're asking for you think I make this whole thing up?
No, no, no. Who's saying this?
Read the story.
What union is this?
The UAW. People in the UAW who are, I guess, connected to Ford. And the Bronco,
don't talk about what you don't know.
So there's 20,000 current or former employees who are part of this particular whatever union this is. I always think of the UAW as one big thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, and there are quotes from people in there saying that it triggered memories of, I think it was her father doing things to her mother, and somebody else said it triggered memories of being on the receiving end of domestic violence.
Wouldn't whatever car they had do that too?
I think
if their dad beat their mom,
I think drivers of virtually every model ever made. There have been people that have driven that car who have committed domestic violence. So maybe all the cars should have a domestic violence.
Except for smart cars.
I don't know. I didn't read a lot of comments. I'm curious to see them, though, to see what people are saying. And then the other story that I was interested in today, and I meant to talk about the other day.
It's actually my car, but I bought it for her.
And these stories just keep getting pushed back because so many things are happening every day, and it's just a flurry of stuff. And most of it's stuff that I'm kind of like, oh, God. But last week, Alexander McComb wrote an article for the Free Press, and it was about – oh, shit, did I lose a page of this?
His great-grandfather.
It was about his fourth great-grandfather – who was the biggest slave owner. Actually, it's his fourth great-grandfather, his fourth great-great-uncle, actually, that was the biggest slaveholder. His grandfather,
his fourth great-grandfather was Alexander McComb.
It's a confusing story. But basically, Alexander McComb and Alexander McComb's brother, who would be his uncle if he was alive then, if he was the kid then, they both were kind of hedging their bets on the Revolutionary War. They were speculating on Native American land. And one of them was speculating that the British would win, and he lost.
1812, yeah.
And his uncle, who I think was Alexander McComb, he speculated on America. And when the war was won, he actually did take a lot of land from Native Americans. That was my understanding of the story. It was kind of confusing. Anyway,
You know what else McCombs said?
Hey, if you don't like America, then you can get out.
So he's able to claim a lot of Native American land. He was very, very wealthy, and he laid claim to Gros Isle and Belle Isle. He died in 1796, and he was the biggest slaveholder in Michigan. Not very PC, stealing Native American land.
Yeah.
So anyway, he led the league in slaveholding in when he, around the time he died.
Yeah, state champion.
So
state champion in slaveholding.
His son, who was Alexander also, he inherited slaves. He was actually willed 26 slaves, and they worked on, I guess, this property that he had, some of which came from Native Americans, or I don't know, or Gros Isle or Belle Isle. I don't know what the hell happened there. But anyway, he's a bad, bad person. But he also was a general in the War of 1812, which, by the way, I was going, wait, the War of 1812, that was with the British, too.
Yeah,
yeah, it was a follow-up.
Yeah, it was. It had to do with, ironically, the Great Lakes, because America was expanding westward and taking land from who else? Native Americans.
Hey, so, if you don't like America, then you can get out.
So Britain was providing supplies to the Native Americans to fight off the Americans, or the colonials, whatever you want to call them. And anyway, General Alexander McComb, and this is weird, too. It's like, really? This is worth a statue? He led America to
America is going to win.
A stalemate at the Battle of Plattsburgh, I think it was.
Did anyone order a hero?
And I'm like, that's a tie, a stalemate. Tie? I mean, how many people have a statue that because they're famous for a tie game? I don't know.
It's hell of a game. Hell of a battle.
Notre Dame, Michigan State, 10-10. Did somebody get a statue for tying that game up?
Probably.
So anyway, you know, time goes on. There's another Alexander McComb, another one. And Alexander McComb now, who's 30, and has a son who's Alexander McComb, ironically, he wrote a big article saying that he thinks it's time to take the statue down.
Yeah.
And he's, it's a long article.
He's not an Alexander, but yeah.
Is that what Macomb County is named after?
Yeah.
Wait, the guy isn't, I thought he was Alexander. I thought his son is
No, his son is Alexander, but the guy that wrote it is Kyle.
Okay.
Yeah.
His name is Kyle Besson. Kyle Alexander de Besson.
So, of course, you know, people love this because he's.
Or Bosset.
He's acknowledging his whatever he's in. I mean, it seems like it's more than his privilege.
Yeah.
But I found myself saying, wait a second. Now, how much wealth has continued on to trickle down to Kyle McComb?
It's a good question.
No,
I don't know. How many kids? I mean, you are talking about fourth grandfather.
But when we're talking about reparations, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
People that held slaves and received all this free labor, not to mention damages. And I thought, well, if you really, because it was a lot of virtue signaling, in my opinion.
He went to Harvard.
Oh, so he had the privilege of going to Harvard. Well, do you suppose that was on financial aid, or did the slaves pay for that?
I don't know.
I just thought that if he feels so strongly about it, and he's probably right, the statue, I don't even know why the guy got a statue. A tie? A fucking tie? The Battle of Plattsburgh? Who talks about
it?
Man, the Battle of Plattsburgh, can you believe they tied that thing up?
Isn't that better than a lot of the people that get statues for losing, like the Confederacy?
Oh, that's true.
There's just too many statues, period.
I'd rather give it to a guy that lost valiantly and they got it tied. A tie?
Maybe it was a come-from-behind tie. He just decided
I think it was.
He just decided to kick the extra point.
Yeah, he's like they scored a bunch of points in the fourth quarter to miraculously tie it up.
They were playing on the road, so he went for the tie.
So
instead of going for the win at home.
Anyway, I just couldn't help wondering how loaded the McComb family is. Because McComb County is named after him. There's streets in him. There's McComb this, McComb that, McComb. Are they going to change the name of all this stuff?
Sure. Why not? We're going to change the names of everything.
He was a slaveholder.
Yeah.
The guy that got the statue was a slaveholder who got a tie in the war. Big deal.
tie.
And he also got all that Native American land.
Sure.
So I just really couldn't help wondering. Maybe somebody knows. And maybe he got financial aid to go to Harvard. Maybe there really isn't any wealth left because somebody blew it all.
Wait, I got to look for that article again. Didn't one of them end up broke and the other...
I don't know.
Yeah, probably that turd who bet on the British.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, certainly him going to Harvard is a sign that they didn't have any money.
Guess we can't cheer for that team.
Let's see.
I don't know. I just thought if he feels that strongly about it, that maybe he'd want to give away some of his money that was earned by slaves.
Maybe maybe
he'd like to pay on behalf of Alexander McComb.
Or maybe it's a big scam so he can have that statue in his backyard, like OJ had the statue himself.
Well, I tell you.
He just wants the statue back.
I was watching Statues Coming Down. Well, we were watching it, too, before the show. And one of these statues, and this happened in North Carolina, too, where they were hanging statues. They literally had a noose around the statue's neck.
Regardless of how anybody feels about statues, you got to love what it looks like seeing a statue come down because they're statues. They can't move. So it's like a person just face planting.
Yeah, it's like somebody just freezing their body. Like, you know how kids always act like they have no muscles at all.
It's like the trust game, but no one's catching that statue except for the one guy that got hit in the head.
No, we see it when you get hit by a taser sometimes.
Oh, yeah, the fencing position.
Just flat as a board.
Well, the thing is, it's kind of dangerous to take a statue down, but in virtually all these cases, and more as time goes on, you'll notice that there are no police. And it's not because they don't know. Like the Jackson one, that took a long time. But the police are kind of, they're on the outskirts. They're not really, I mean, it's really weird when someone decides, I'm taking down a statue. And the police do nothing. And I think it was the North Carolina case, people were bitching because the cops were right around the corner. They knew. They were there. So why didn't they do anything? But, you know, the prevailing feeling is they can't do anything. Police can't do anything. Well, what if they get in a scrap with the people that want to tear the statue down? I understand it. From the police's standpoint, I totally understand it.
Yeah.
But this is not really, this isn't the best way to take a statue down. And I guess only one person's been hurt badly.
I like this one because they're bathing Apollo. This looks like Apollo. And the girls are bathing him.
It's just very strange to see police acting so absolutely docile. You know, the autonomous zone is one thing, but the statues, that's all over the place. And in Brooklyn, in New York, and Philadelphia, and San Francisco, and a number of other cities now, apparently this is catching on, where people are lighting off fireworks, loud fireworks, all night in certain neighborhoods. In Brooklyn, it was so bad, in the first 2 weeks of June, they had 1,700 911 calls begging the police to come out to stop this fucking noise. And I thought, is this exaggerating? Is this... But then...
Is that another thing we want police to have to deal with?
Who's going to deal with... who is going to deal with it, though? I mean, honestly...
It seems so silly.
Because it seems like it's catching on, and it's like another way to say, hey, we're still pissed, or, you know, something needs to be done, so check out these fireworks, 3 in the morning. And if you read about New York, or you read the New York papers at all, people are livid. They're losing it. It's like, I can't fucking sleep. I'm awakened, you know, ever so often, virtually every night. So,
put it in reverse, here.
In Brooklyn and in other places in New York City, the police have just said, you know what? That's not our thing. Telling people who are protesting nonviolently to stop protesting or to stop, they're essentially calling the fireworks a form of protest that is nonviolent. So they've just taken the stand that this is not our problem and you guys deal with it. And they even, this might have been the police chief.
Fireworks were just fun.
Not at 3 in the morning when you're sleeping every night. And I thought, can this really be that bad? Well,
bag up here.
Inside Edition, and this story was carried in a couple other places. They had, and written about all over the place, they have video of all these cars in front of de Blasio's house, the mayor of New York, honking their horns all night, demanding some action.
Yeah.
So I think it's
real. So you
can
have a taste of their medicine.
I don't think it's just a few whiny people. It's a lot of people who are really pissed. And the police, and you know, it's a really strange position for the police to be in, because anytime they back off something, you kind of go, well, I understand.
Yeah.
They want to get in a big scrap over fireworks.
Fireworks, yeah, noise.
And the part, though, that I thought was a little strange was where they're saying, you know, what you ought to do.
A lot of people do move to New York City for the peace and quiet, so I can understand why they'd be upset.
Well, but fireworks all night.
I actually heard that it wasn't just like those, the mortars, because those ones are loud. I just heard that they had an entire arsenal at their hands.
You don't have no black cats, no Roman candles or screaming memes. You don't got no lady fingers, fuzz buttles, snicker bombs, church burners, finger blasters, gut busters, zippity doodahs, or crap flappers. You don't have no whistling bungholes, no spleen splitters, whisker biscuits, honky lighters, hoosker doos, hoosker don'ts, cherry bombs, nips and dazers, with or without the scooter stick, or one single whistling kitty chaser.
I don't think people drive to de Blasio's house to honk the horn all night for no reason. But I'm not there. You know, maybe it's a bunch of whiny people, but it sounds to me like the part I didn't like was telling people that, well, you know, if you're in the community, it's a community thing, it's a community protest, it's anti-violent, go down and talk to the people doing this and get them to stop. I don't know how well that works. Maybe
probably
it would.
Not at all.
Maybe it wouldn't. But anyway, I don't know that we've seen the end of this, because it seems to be catching on in other cities as people hear about it.
We have fireworks going off all the time around here.
I know. I don't.
I hear them all the time. But
oh, Lord! Lord, please! Ow,
we have our windows open.
Oh,
and by the way, just a quick show meeting reminder. Next week, we should definitely call Terry prior to July.
Oh, good call.
Do you know, I wonder if he gets any money for this, because I've had some people send me the picture, people that are shopping for fireworks. There's a backup Terry firework. Have you seen that?
I don't think he does. If anything, it's just something that somebody slapped on there.
Barstool had a tweet with that, his picture on some fireworks. I didn't know if it was a joke or what it was.
Terry should sue China for using his likeness. I don't know who makes the fireworks. I just assume they're all made in China.
So,
Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Seriously? Oh, man, I'm exhausted. Okay.
I know. That's what I meant. It's like, you know, once it got so far behind, it was only, I just wanted to do something else just to get off this topic. And tomorrow and Thursday,
Jimmy,
we can just avoid the subject. I was looking for my Paris Jackson notes, because did you hear Paris Jackson?
Sure was.
Is got a documentary coming out.
Great.
About the Soundflowers. Her band with her boyfriend.
Wow. I'm sure she didn't get this documentary made because she's Michael Jackson.
No.
It's just they're that good of a band.
No, they're that good. And in fact, I think the fact that they're so good is indicated by the fact that the budget for the documentary was all the money in the world.
What?
Well, all the money in the world that Michael Jackson had.
Yeah.
What are they
called? The Soundflowers?
The Soundflowers. See if you can pull up the trailer.
Yeah, I was just looking on for their music.
Well, the music's in the trailer.
Okay.
And it's the trailer is hilarious because naturally Paris is talking, and she's talking about how, you know, her relationship with her boyfriend, who's the other guy in the band.
Yeah, who needs a shower.
And the pressure she feels to follow in Michael's footsteps.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Knock it off.
By the way, do we have to pretend that she's really Michael Jackson's daughter, that she has the genetic Michael Jackson skill?
In Paris, they always think, Debbie, but that could easily be my father's genes, you know?
I know. Honestly, somebody should ask her. Don't you think that, because she is parading around like she is a biological African-American child of Michael Jackson. And it's just not the case.
Do you remember when she said in Rolling Stone that she is black?
I don't remember that, but
she is. She's Michael's daughter.
Someone needs to give her like 23andMe her.
I'm confused, though. Are we pretending that she's black? Are we all pretending?
Yes,
is it just the
assumption that she is the biological child.
But when that other girl was parading around as black,
Rachel Dolezal,
how much shit she got? She was totally canceled.
Yeah, but she wasn't adopted by somebody who claimed that it was the real child. So,
but we know she's not Michael Jackson's child.
I don't know.
We don't know 100%.
Oh, come on. Give me a break.
I don't know. Hey, great news. They just dropped their first EP today.
All right.
I don't see a trailer. I don't see a movie.
I can't find it either.
Oh, God,
just the new music.
Wait. Oh, hold on. Michael Jackson's daughter Paris continuing in the family business as she releases her debut song with the Soundflowers.
Family business.
I swear to God, she's got a documentary.
With Liberty as its slogan?
Is it on Facebook? Wait, maybe this is it.
On Facebook.
It's a Facebook Watch show?
Yeah, that's it. It's not a documentary. What the fuck am I talking about?
I didn't
even
realize Facebook Watch still existed.
Yeah, it's kind of a documentary, but...
What does Paris want to be?
I do what you do.
What? Look at buttholes and beat off?
You dance and sing?
And look at buttholes and beat off?
You see a kid grow up in the public eye. You forget that I am a human. I was against letting the world in because it wasn't a choice.
What? Well, that's really profound because we haven't seen shit from Prince Michael Jackson because he doesn't want to be out there.
He seems like, I got to tell you.
He actually seems pretty cool.
I saw him interviewed on Good Morning America about something, and I liked him. I thought, this guy seems okay.
Amazingly well-adjusted for being a black man in the United States.
I actually think that he's given the answer, like, what can you do? Like, you know, I think he's given that answer in the past.
But like, she's acting like she can't escape that.
How about the irony of Michael Jackson doing everything in his power to become white, and Paris Jackson, his daughter, claiming she's black?
Well, she didn't choose how she was born.
Open the public eye. You forget that I am a human. I was against letting the world in because it wasn't a choice. I wasn't ready then.
Okay.
I feel like I'm ready now.
Haven't picked up a six string in a long
Everyone has a journey.
Hello, everybody. We're the Soundflowers.
Yeah, it looks like he smells.
When I met Gabe, immediately just vibed, started making music.
Just felt like home. It felt like something so familiar.
I feel like we're the same level of damaged.
For the first time, she's letting her honest voice come out.
The same level. Again,
I felt that we were the same level of damaged.
How many kids did his dad molest? His dad also molested a bunch of children because he didn't have a childhood.
I've never heard anyone put it quite that way.
What a nut.
I was thinking about adopting two kids from each continent around the world.
Can we get that? Oh, it's got music underneath it. Yeah. I love that.
I feel like we're the same level of damaged.
For the first time, she's letting her honest voice come out.
What a bunch of babble.
Gabe understands the pain that I've gone through in my life. He helped me realize that this is what I was born to do.
I feel like he's just said, this is what you were born to do.
Wait, no, she's Debbie Rowe's daughter, and she's, a dermatologist? Is she going to go into dermatology? Because she's Arnold Klein. Remember Jackson brought semen from Arnold Klein?
Oh, yeah.
Borrowed it. Did he pay him back? Borrowed it.
Yeah. Gave him tons of semen back. It's a good return on investment.
By the way, what's the deal with Arnold Klein? Dr. Klein, can I borrow some semen? Yeah, sure. Hold on. I got a ton of it. Hang on. When are you going to get back to me? What the fuck?
I got a ton of... You want it fresh, or how old do you want it to be?
And if you look at Paris and Prince, they both resemble Arnold Klein, don't they?
Yeah.
They don't look anything like Michael Jackson.
Definitely.
I saw a picture of Debbie Rowe when she's younger. Paris looks a little like Debbie Rowe.
No, she definitely does. Looks like Debbie.
She does. Although she's a model. Was Debbie a model when she was younger?
But Prince. Oh, she didn't have Michael's jeans. There's a lot of side-by-sides on the net. And, Prince and Dr. Arnold Klein, come on. If they're not related, I don't know.
Yeah.
Gabe understands the pain that I've gone through in my life. He helped me realize that this is what I was born to do. The whole pressure to follow in my dad's footsteps compared to him and screw
the dermatologist.
It's still something that we have to work on.
I want to influence self-acceptance and courage. I will love if my music connects.
I want to influence... Self-acceptance,
yeah.
And courage. Wow. I'm anti-courage.
You know, whenever I hear Paris Jackson, I'm utterly fascinated. I hang on every word, and I wonder, is she, in some ways, are there a lot of 19-year-olds like her?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a frightening thought.
Yeah.
But is it
self-acceptance
possible?
Self-acceptance and courage. I will love if my music connects with someone and helps in some way.
It won't.
A Jackson doing folk indie, not what they expect.
Yeah, well.
Oh, a Jackson doing full indie. So she's really starting at the bottom.
But you're not really a Jackson.
A Jackson doing full indie. She's like, how about the irony? A Jackson,
folk.
A musical Jackson,
folk.
doing indie. Oh my God,
moron!
If she's going to follow in her parents' footsteps, then I guess somebody really famous would have children with her, which she would then sell back to them and never be in their lives again. Wouldn't that be following in Debbie Rowe's footsteps?
Pretty much.
Or she'd be a dermatologist.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, she's always, I'm telling you, I hang on every word. I have to hand it to her.
What if you end up liking the music?
I didn't think it was that bad.
How much of it's going to be him and how much is her, do you think?
I think it's going to be more her because she's got all the musical talent and the DNA.
Well, you don't know what he's been through. It sounds like they had similar upbringings.
She's going to be better at selling her kids, too.
Well, she didn't have a childhood, really. Are there any lyrics to this
song? The whistle's got woo!
So that was your look. You saw how far I failed you. It's the words themselves.
Oh, that's Gabe.
That's Gabe.
And he is, by the way, the same level of damaged so as Paris.
Blood fled from your frail face. Your heart was still in time and place. That girl liked it. So glorious. But how our hearts were.
I don't know.
That just was. Yes.
I don't know if this is going to be a Jackson having that really super successful lo-fi indie debut.
No. You know what, though? It's not terrible.
No, it's not that bad.
No, it's not terrible. But I'm not sure if she didn't have the Jackson name and she wasn't following Michael's footsteps, I'm not sure how many people would listen to that. Just saying.
Well, she's going to influence self-acceptance, Drew. So just
so
work on your self-acceptance, I guess. I don't know.
Why not wrap the show
with Jimmy Kimmel?
With Jimmy Kimmel.
No.
We finally get to him. He apologized. Jimmy has been under major pressure because of appearing in blackface as actually multiple people on The Man Show, and I don't know what else. Now, I don't think he says anything in apology about the latest thing, which was this. I thought it was silly, this thing with Megan Fox. People are just going through Kimmel shows looking for stuff to get him canceled, which, yeah, it's just insane.
Megan Fox wasn't bothered by it, was she?
She released
was.
A statement.
Well, she brought it up. Actually. I think she did. She bring it up, Brandon, or did people spring it out there and then she said, yeah, I was bummed?
Oh, okay.
She definitely didn't bring this up, no.
Maybe Machine Gun Kelly encouraged her to discuss it. By the way, did you hear that?
Maybe Brian Austin Green leaked it.
Did you hear Brian Austin Green is hanging with Courtney Stodden?
Yeah, they met online.
Yes! Oh.
They met on Facebook.
Isn't and they're nice? Making music together.
Oh, that's going to be great.
For people who forget who Courtney Stodden was, Courtney Stodden is the chick when she was like 14 years old.
She peaked.
She had a fantastic body. And so that actor that played Percy in The Green Mile, what's his name? Do you remember? Doug Hutchison.
Yeah.
Doug Hutchison. He was like 68 years old and she was like 14. He married her. It was really weird. They took a bunch of gross pictures together.
Ugh. Oh, really?
For like 9 years.
Nude pictures?
No, pardon gross. Me? Gross
oh,
pictures.
Gross pictures.
All over each other.
Oh, but since then, yeah, she's nude all over the place now. She does the AnyFans or whatever. You can see her on Pornhub.
Does she have a cameo?
She's been told some porn.
I've been told.
I think she does some solo cameo.
She does mostly solo, but sometimes she'll do stuff with other chicks.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, now she's banging Brian Austin Green.
Good for him. So he's recovering nicely.
What a perfect match.
And I think Megan Fox acknowledged that she is getting nailed by Machine Gun Kelly. Duh.
They were caught holding hands in public and kissing.
So anyway, Jimmy Kimmel, he had this horrible response to a story that Megan Fox told where he laughed at her description of being objectified as a 15-year-old and then said something about, we all want to do that, but we repress it, and people are so upset about this.
Wait a second. I just thought something. So remember, Joe Rogan laughed at the guy's joke, and everyone was Everyone was more mad at Rogan than Joey Diaz.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
So everyone's more mad at Kimmel
than the director,
Michael Bay, who objectified her.
Okay. Correct.
I just want to make sure I follow the bouncing ball.
It's pretty commonplace now. It's not the person that does the thing; it's the person who doesn't do enough about it.
Okay.
Even though he's a talk show host, and that was a movie set.
Yeah.
So on and on. And then this,
and he's doing it in public, laughing about it.
By the way, the song where he's doing a parody of a Snoop song and he says the N-word multiple times, that is being made a big deal now. So that was, when somebody sent me that link, that was kind of like just squeaking out there. And I guess it's, I don't know, is it all over the place now?
Yeah, yeah. Junior, Trump Jr. tweeted about it. So,
but you know, the interesting thing is,
it took on another
the life. Last time it was Howard Stern and that video, which I thought that thing might, and I don't want it to have legs. I want him to just, you know.
Which was also DTJ.
Yeah, but it didn't really get anywhere. Because DTJ is just one guy. When someone who is on the right does something like that, it gets tweeted by every single person on the left who is a social justice warrior. And those are millions and millions and millions and millions of people. So it never, I don't think Howard's video, which is there been anything worse? I mean, if we're grading things on a scale, because he says the N-word brutally multiple times. He's in blackface, and it's not a very something he said himself he wouldn't do now. Anyway, it really hasn't been anything worse. It didn't even trend on Twitter because Donald Trump Jr. and this other guy were the only ones that tweeted it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of people with no followers that did.
You're not going to get Chris Evans and John Cusack, and yeah, you're not going to get those guys, Alyssa Milano, the big celebrities who kind of seem to push all these causes. You're not going to see them attack that.
But
side.
How can
you just don't?
What I don't understand, and I don't like any of it, but if you're upset about Ralph Northam's blackface, why are you not upset about? I mean, it seems there ought to be consistency in this, right? I mean, shouldn't all of it offend you equally?
It's the media.
I know. Anyway, Jimmy's apology for his embarrassing portrayal of black celebrities. I have long been reluctant to address this, as I knew doing so would be celebrated as a victory by those who equate apologies with weakness and cheer for leaders who use prejudice to divide us.
That to me just says the only people that are offended by what he's done are the people that don't agree with him politically.
Correct. And if you go by Twitter, you're right. He's right. But that's where the catch is. If other people doing this, it's so offensive and people have to tweet about it and make a trend, then why is this not offensive? And why is Kimmel even saying it's not offensive to them? In other words, he's saying this is no big deal. And I wouldn't apologize, but, you know, I want to get it over with. Then he says, I apologize to those who were genuinely hurt or offended by the makeup I wore or the words I spoke. So he doesn't say blackface, and he also doesn't say the N-word.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a really different kind of apology, at a minimum. He added that I was imitating a fellow human being. So he said, I mean, that sort of says that I don't think I did anything wrong. No. I was imitating a fellow human being. I mean, that's not, I don't know.
If you think blackface is wrong, then yeah, he was wrong. If he was following,
I mean, it is worth noting that.
Do people's intentions matter? No, not anymore.
No.
It is worth noting that Jimmy Kimmel really pushed hard for, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, he's gone after people.
Tom Arnold to release the N-word tapes of Donald Trump, and that never happened. And
that was on his show.
Yeah.
Right.
He said that his portrayal of Karl Malone had no more to do with Carl's skin color than his bulging muscles and bald head. I don't know if I don't think Ralph Northam could have gotten away with this apology. You know, the other guy, by the way, which I thought was so stupid from the first moment, the third in line for the governor. Remember, he wore he was dressed up as Curtis Blow when he was a sophomore in college, and he was a huge Curtis Blow fan. I mean, it was really, I mean, that was in the news for a while. And, you know, I just wonder, is anyone sincere? Is all of this bullshit? Because I'm tired. I'm just tired of reading it. If it's not real, then stop. I mean, why does this get to the top of the pile all the time?
Twitter.
But Twitter's not news. Twitter is, you know, and Jimmy Kimmel, by the way. Will this be the first story on you know, or the third story on Good Morning America? Or is that reserved for the girl who is going to call the police on the guy in Central Park? Or Barbecue Becky? Does Jimmy Kimmel make that slut? I bet he doesn't, because Howard Stern did not.
I don't know. Did they do a story on his apology?
I think they did. They may have covered his apology, but usually the stories are, look at this. Barbecue Becky is trying to get this family not to barbecue in an area where you're not supposed to barbecue. And what is she calls the police on a black person. And Barbecue Becky was a bitch.
Which one's worse, by the way, that or what Kimmel did?
Barbecue Becky?
Yeah.
Calling the police on people for barbecuing?
Yeah, I'm asking your opinion.
Kimmel is a lot of different things.
I
don't think you can equate the two, because one of them is 20 years ago and one of them's today, and there's a lot different rules 20 years ago.
No, hold on.
Well, then that would make it not.
If you're talking about newsworthiness, there's no comparison.
I was just wondering in your opinion which one's worse.
Oh, well, the one person did one stupid thing, and her defense was that they were not allowed to barbecue there, but you don't call the police about that. It's stupid.
Yeah.
And I don't know Barbecue Becky. The permit Patty was the one who, by the way, had support after the big to-do was made about her. It was a little Nicholas Sandman-ish because the fellow vendor said she absolutely should be checking people for permits, but the Latino woman raised hell about it and taped this thing where she's asking her for a permit. So that was a big story. That was like, you know, again, third story, fifth story, Good Morning America, the next day. As all those stories, it seemed like there was a story every day for about a week. But Jimmy Kimmel is a huge star. And the fact that he apologized, you'd think it would be a big story. Maybe his apology will be a big story. They really haven't covered the... I mean, him doing Malone, is that getting a lot of coverage? Or him saying the N-word? I haven't heard anything about the N-word song. Nothing.
I kind of don't want to hear it. I don't want him to lose his job over this.
I don't either, but I just wish... Can this be consistent? Can we just... You know, what happened 40 years ago? Some guy wearing blackface 40 years ago. I mean, that's just, why would we spend days and days on a story like that?
Are you talking about Northam?
Yeah. Or like, the Curtis Blow.
The Curtis Blow. Because he's a governor, probably because they're public officials.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel is a, more people know Jimmy Kimmel, probably 500 times more people know Jimmy Kimmel than Ralph Northam. And if, let's see, I'm trying to think of the corollary. Who would be the celebrity that if he did the same things that, yeah, Roseanne, she said she was fired in an hour.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a double standard. I don't even understand it. Like if you have the right politics, we'll just kind of let it go. Or we'll be nice about it. And if you don't, well, yeah, whatever. But why don't we get the outro, get the hell out of here. I don't know why this show was so long, for crying out loud. Oh, my God. We're over 3 hours?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, boy. Okay. Trudy's back tomorrow. And anything scheduled this week?
Negative. Maybe Gilbert will
call. Oh, Gilbert,
back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot to ask you.
Gotta wrap it up, guys.
How'd your interview go with Mrs. G?
She's very nice. She's really, really nice. I was just trying to explain.
Gotta wrap it up, guys.
I apologize for catching her off guard, which she said was not a problem. She'd have something on the oven, though, or in the oven or on the stove.
I'm sorry, guys. We're going to need to wrap it up.
She seemed pretty cool.
She said she was going to pass it on. She probably crumpled that paper. Hey, we need to wrap it up. The garbage. She probably did the air writing of the phone number.
Actually, I could ask her a lot of questions because that the documentary, there were so many weird things about Gilbert. All those free shampoos from hotels
underneath their bed, which kind of drove her a little nuts.
There was no space for anything under the bed because there were so many shampoos from hotels.
I almost told her, I decided against it, but I almost said, yeah, we gave him a bunch of free shirts when he came in, but I didn't know how that would be taken.
I bet you would have laughed.
Other stations probably did the same thing. So
I don't think it'd be any big shock to her.
I did drop a name. I dropped Willie's name because I said, oh, Willie used to bring him in when he performed at the bag, and that's why
Did that ring a bell with her? I'd be shocked.
No, but I wanted her to tell Gilbert that.
What if she goes to his shows? I never even knew he had a wife, honestly, for the longest time. He's pretty wife swap. He was the number one guy in Cameo for a long time. I wonder if he still is.
How much
did
was
you
he,
bang my wife?
How much was he making a day? Was it $1,000
a day?
That's good for him.
$2,000 a day, yeah. No, I think Gilbert's doing fine. So, all right. We'll see you tomorrow. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.